Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
To AM 1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from San Francisco, is the first woman to become Speaker of the U.S. House. Among her first words, a pledge.
I accept this gavel in the spirit of partnership, not partisanship.
She said women have waited for this day for more than 200 years to finally break through the marble ceiling. She sent a message to the president.
It is the responsibility of the president to articulate a new plan for Iraq that makes it clear to the Iraqis that they must defend their own streets and their own security.
And Democrats who took over both houses of Congress went to work on some top priority projects, starting with new limits on lobbyists.
The proposals seek to end the far too cozy connection between lobbyists and members of Congress and restore some of the public trust stretched thin by Republican scandals. It would strengthen the ban on gifts, end the free travel underwritten by lobbyists and all that travel on corporate jets. It also has new disclosure rules designed to stop members from secretly slipping special interest measures into bills without saying who is asking for them or why.
CBS's is Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. As with most new Congresses, Americans have told the CBS News polling unit they are upbeat about the coming 2 years. 68% are optimistic generally. As to the specifics,
Americans really couldn't be clearer when we asked about their priority for the new Congress. 45% say that it should be Iraq. However, only 8% think that Democrats have a clear plan for Iraq. 82% think they don't.
Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton says 49% expect the Congress to accomplish more. A couple of changes in the Bush administration. White House counsel Harriet Myers has submitted her resignation. President Bush has accepted it. CBS News has learned the ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, is moving to the U.N., nominated for the ambassadorship there, or soon to be. More tonight on the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. So you think your mail is secret from even the government? Civil libertarians are saying they sure don't like President Bush's signing statement asserting the government's right to look if they have good reason.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. The assertion by President Bush of the authority to open some U.S. mail without a warrant is contained deep in his written statement on signing the Postal Accountability Act last month. But a spokeswoman calls it no big deal. She says the government has long had the authority for warrantless mail opening in cases where human life and safety may be in jeopardy, such as mail suspected of containing an explosive device.
Could have been a meteor breaking into pieces, or maybe space junk that made streaks of fire in the sky last night over Colorado. Air Force Space Command trying to figure that out. Wall Street, the Dow was up 6 points, NASDAQ gained 30. Oil prices down another $2.73 a barrel. John Kilduff, oil analyst.
The eastern two-thirds of the country are the ones experiencing this tremendous warmth and just a complete lack of winter fuel demand.
The price today, $55.59 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, how do you manage all the aches and pains?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
Nope, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Rear-facing child safety seats don't handle high-speed crashes. It's a new government report.
Though the infant safety seats may meet minimum government safety standards, most do not provide protection in higher-speed crashes like those the government uses in its five-star vehicle crash test.
We only wound up being able to recommend two seats.
Don Mays of Consumer Reports says the Baby Trend Flex Lock and Krako Snug Ride with EPS rated tops. But the overall message to parents is?
Absolutely use a child safety seat. Child safety seats are up to 71% effective at preventing deaths in an auto accident.
John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
You know how some pastries are so rich you can just get a buzz eating one? Well, at a jail on Long Island,
they found a small Ziploc bag containing a green substance which appeared to be marijuana. In addition to that, they found some rolling papers. They found four matches and a small piece of flint pad used to strike, obviously, the matches.
New York corrections officers have been busted for the paper.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock, welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And what would weekdays consist of? Oh, that would be Monday through Friday, wouldn't it? Okay, I know, we're all very smart, but sometimes you hear the same words over again and it just is wallpaper. 3 to 7 right here, Enid Live, and tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow's the Schwartz and Schnorr, Schnorzy, Schwartz and Klutz, Schwartz and Havel. I have a new name for him because I'm trying to think of what kind of a doggy he resembles. What kind of a doggy does Arnold Schwarzenegger resemble? I don't have a lot of doggy species in my head, but I would say maybe a standard poodle. So he's Schwartz and Poodle, and they're usually smart. They could be smarter than Schnorzy, but you could tell me. I'll be covering the inauguration. The swearing-in, not the inaugural ball, but the swearing-in tomorrow. And I'll bring you back stories of what has gone on. And I also want to correct the record. I thought that Richard Clark, counterterrorism czar, would be appearing tomorrow on Scott and Sims, the morning retort, but not until January the 26th at 7 a.m. So I want to set the record straight there. And also set the record straight to let you know that John Elliott from Air America will be doing his show live from our studios on Friday. His show airs from 7 until 10, I think. And so we'll bring him in a little bit early, and you'll have a chance to meet him here on Enid Live. And that's on Friday. That's tomorrow. And he'll come in later in the broadcast in our 6 o'clock hour. So let me give you the numbers, 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. These are all toll-free numbers. Does not cost you one penny to weigh in on what's going on. Today is an historic day. Nancy Pelosi, the first Speaker of the House, who is a woman in the 200-plus years of our existence as a country. There she is. I think this is really wonderful, and I'll be talking about that. And the fact also that little noticed, but should be noticed, is that she's third in line for the presidency. Wouldn't it be interesting if she became the first female Speaker of the House and also the first female president? You know, remember how Gerald Ford became president? He didn't seek it. He wasn't interested in it. It just sort of happened to him, or as a friend said, the luckiest man in the universe. Well, Schnorzy, I want to start with what's going on in our own backyard first before we move on to what's happening in the country. So he is skipping one of his inaugural events.
He has been sidelined. You know, it cannot, I have to tell you, we kid around about being a klutz and kind of clumsy and everything else, but it certainly can't be much fun to have cables and screws and who knows what else when you have a femur repair, as he has suffered. And when they admit you to the hospital for anything, even if it's 10 minutes, it means it's serious. And he was in for, I don't know, a couple of days, I think. So sidelined with a broken leg, requiring more rest than previously thought. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, is it a broken leg if it's a broken femur, or is that a broken thigh, or I guess it's part of your leg, I don't know. Requiring more rest than previously thought, Schwarzenegger backed out from his only scheduled public inaugural appearance, despite earlier assurances he would attend all events to kick off his second term. So he already decided a day in advance that he was going to be too tired to go to the one thing that everybody could go to that was free, that didn't cost you $50,000. You know, the only way you get to see him is if you pay the $50,000 or $500 a person, and then he's going to drag himself in a on crutches or a motorized, if he's smart, he'd use a motorized wheelchair or something, but I don't think he won't want that image out there. So he'll drag along on crutches or something, or on his, he'll use his wife as an ambulatory crutch, I don't know. But in any event, the only public event that he was scheduled to appear, he has backed out. So it says to me that he's in greater pain than they have let on, and this was more serious than they have let on. And, you know, and the minute they start showing pictures in the bedside of the governor, who was only 10 minutes before in surgery and whose head still isn't clear if it ever was, signing documents and looking like he's in command in those patterned, you know, things that they have you wear in the hospital, then you know things are not really good. Because if he's starting to feel better, they, you know, I think it's a different picture. In any event, he changed course as the schedule developed to have the governor make three major appearances next week to define his agenda. His communications director said that the governor's recovery is on track. Well, what is he going to say? Is he going to say that rehab is not on track? Now, here is what the Los Angeles Times is reporting. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that the governor will propose that all California children, including, now I want to give you the locution that they use in the Los Angeles Times, because it's a British locution. We don't use it. But somehow the LA Times now has suddenly gotten to be British. Here's the first sentence. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will propose that all Californian children, it really, they would say that in England about California, but what we would say is that all California children, including those in the state illegally, will be guaranteed medical insurance as part of the health care overhaul Schnorzy intends to unveil next week, and this is according to officials familiar with the plan. So it's being leaked early so that there can be, I suppose, some response to it or some foundation built for it, or maybe this is a wholly unplanned leak. But according to the LA Times, the governor is going to propose that all California children, including those in the state illegally, be guaranteed medical insurance as part of the health care overhaul he intends to unveil next week. Now, what does this sound like? How familiar is this? Does this sound like, are you hearing an echo effect from the election? Echo, 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 Phil Angelides, isn't that what Phil sort of proposed? And it didn't get him anywhere. He couldn't get any traction. He could not make the sale. According to the Bee and the polling that they cited, only, you know, very few people, percentage-wise, were interested in health care. You have 6.5 million uninsured in the state of California, and of those, apparently, about three quarters of a million are children. So for 750,000 children, this is what he's going to propose. If enacted by the legislature, his proposal would affect about 763,000 children who now lack insurance. Although the administration has not revealed details of how it would pay for such a program, officials estimate that extending insurance to all children could cost the state as much as $400 million a year. I don't even think that's 10 minutes worth in Iraq, actually. That would be a small piece of Schwarzenegger's stated goal to ensure medical coverage for all the 6.5 million Californians who now have none. Experts say that could cost upward of $10 billion a year. If successful, the governor's efforts to cover all children would be a substantial political feat. Only a few states guarantee coverage for all those under 18. Schwarzenegger himself vetoed a measure to cover all children in 2005, complaining that lawmakers offered no way to pay for it. Well, so how is it going to get paid for now is the question. And that was Sheila Kuehl's bill, I believe. If it wasn't, he certainly vetoed her, and hers would have saved the state immediately from the get $8 billion. And experts say that insuring the 6.5 million uninsured in California would cost upward of $10 billion. But if we insured everybody, single payer, not using the insurance companies, California, single payer, universal coverage, you'd save $8 billion and countless premiums, I mean, that everybody's paying individually. California Republican legislators who blocked a more modest effort to extend health care coverage last year are sure to rebel against a plan that includes children of illegals. Schwarzenegger is scheduled to announce his full health plan Monday. His office is still finalizing many parts of that package. All sectors of the health care industry, including hospitals, insurers, doctors, patients, businesses, and government, would pay some of the cost under Schwarzenegger's plan. So, hospitals, insurers, doctors, patients, businesses, and government. This is so screwy. This is so screwy. You do it in the simplest way, as we know from science, is the most elegant way. So, let me ask you this question. I have two questions to ask you. One's a more serious question. So I'll start with a more serious question that I'm going to ask you. And the more serious question I want to ask you is, how do you feel about illegal children being insured under Schwarzenegger's plan? Illegal children being insured. Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Diseases do not know whether you are legal or you are illegal. And if you have airborne diseases like, for example, tuberculosis, and an illegal child gets it, but because that child is here illegally and therefore qualifies for no insurance, and the parents have no real assets and they don't have insurance, and the kid, you know, is so sick that he or she spreads their, poor little cooties all over the place that everybody gets, before the kid finally goes to the ER, if the kid ever does, because sometimes you don't have symptoms. Sometimes these airborne TB, I think, can be asymptomatic, you don't have symptoms. Oh, let me say it that way. You don't have symptoms. You might not always have symptoms, but you could be carrying the TB or TB. It could be like a, you know, like a typhoid Mary or something. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So if you're going to do it, and you have to think of it not as an immigration issue, you have to think of it as a public health issue. The cooties don't care where you are from or if you are here illegally, and they don't ask to see your papers before they infect you. So if you're going to do it, you have to do illegals. You have to do everybody. If you're going to do all the children, you have to do all the children. You don't turn the medical staff into the INS. So in that, I am in agreement. But I am not in agreement with how he thinks he's going to pay for it, because he's never going to find a way to pay for this. So he's going to make all these high-minded statements, and it's never going to go anywhere. The Republicans aren't going to back him. Maybe the Democrats will give him a little bit of traction. I don't know. Maybe he's got the insurers on board. Maybe this is already a back-channel done deal. I don't know. What are your thoughts about insuring all the children in the state who are uninsured, and that's about 750,000 children, at a cost of something like $400 million a year, which to me sounds like peanuts. What are your thoughts about this? And my second question is, if Arnold Schwarzenegger were a dog, what kind of a dog would he be? Is he a dog that can't hunt? What kind of a dog is he? He is a hound dog. We know that from his other, from his rutting mating behavior. We know that he is a hound. But what kind of a dog would Arnold Schwarzenegger be if he were a dog? Well, he'd be a limping dog. He might be a hang dog. He might be a dog without a leg to stand on. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, there's a Rottweiler running around in northbound Cab City Freeway, but you know what? I don't think I can do that to Rotary. That's what Diana used to call Camilla, only use the other one. I see. So southbound 99 just south of Arnold Road, there's a two-car crash, and southbound I-5 at 8. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sal Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
Sweet George.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Enid now, 349-1320. It's all live.
back on a plane when I enter the club. I'm trying to find a little mama for some part-time love. And you just the right type, just the right size. I'm digging your demeanor with your deep brown eyes. You turn me on like a light switch. I'm just trying to groove a little bit without scuffing up my white teeth. I really like the way you look in the pants. So come follow me to the floor and let's dance. Tell them, Jay.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, what happened? Oh, I don't know. Somebody's trying to silence me. The White House is trying to silence me. It's Arnold trying to silence me. Here's how we're going to find out whether Arnold is in good shape or not. We're going to monitor the orangeness of his makeup and hair, and then I'll be able to bring you a report. I'm sure they're not going to let me anywhere near him. They're probably going to corral the press probably into a side room where we're going to get to monitor it on a screen. That is what frequently happens, so I will be reporting back. You are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, in case you don't know what you're listening to. You can hear Enid Live Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. And you can always weigh in. It doesn't cost you a penny to do it, and it makes for one of the best conversations in Sacramento. I have to say, I think we have got one of the liveliest audiences in the whole area. And our audience comes from all over the place because we do stream live, 1320, leftchannel.com. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com. But people who call Enid Live, those of you who are calling, you guys are the best. You are funny and you are smart and sometimes you are delirious. But that is what makes it so much fun. So I'm asking a couple of questions here because Arnold was the one public event that was free that everybody could go to that he swore he would be at. He's not going to be able to make it. He's citing health issues. The broken leg, the femur. Which part is the femur? Isn't the femur like the thigh? I don't know. I'm a body part illiterate. But in any event, I think he's probably in greater pain than they want you to know, and maybe it's healing a little bit more slowly, and who knows. So the only events he's going to, if we want to really be snarky about it, is the ones that the people are paying big bucks to get access to him on. So he's saving his energy for the paying customers, not for those of us, the constituents of this wonderful, of the golden state, the state that is so golden it practically matches his makeup. And I'm asking the question, he's got some healthcare plan in place that he's scheduled to announce next Monday, where he would insure all the children uninsured right now, about 750,000 children, even the illegal children. How do you feel about that? And also, if Arnold were a dog, what kind of a dog would he be? Carol in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm driving around and around in a circle in front of the Capitol trying to find a parking space.
Why? Are you getting in line before the swearing in tomorrow?
Yes. I'm just kind of curious. Just curious as to what goes on. I've never been a part of an inauguration, and I have my 15-year-old son with me, so this is kind of an educational experience.
Oh, good for you.
So,
what kind of a dog would Arnold be if he were a dog, Carol?
I know that he has golden retrievers. He has two of them.
Yes, but what kind of a dog would Arnold be if he were a dog?
Could be a golden retriever mix.
Mix with what?
What would he be? Pretty tenacious. Maybe a German Shepherd.
A German Shepherd. Arnold would be a German Shepherd with a little golden retriever in him.
Hmm?
Well, we have to call him an orange retriever because it would match his makeup. Carol, I think. Well, thank you very much for the call, and good luck finding a parking space at the Capitol.
Okay, and I am happy about the medical insurance for children. I'm very happy about that.
So it doesn't matter to you whether they're legal or illegal?
No, I think that we need to find a constructive way, a way in which to make the borders tighter and to reach out and help the people over the border, instructing them about birth control and that kind of thing.
Okay, well, that's instructing people about birth control is always a fun enterprise and quite often ignored, whether intentionally or not. But Carol, we always like to try. Thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So Carol thinks a golden retriever with a little bit of German Shepherd. Well, we're going to call an orange retriever and an Austrian Shepherd mix, but what do I know? Wendy in Granite Bay. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Enid?
This is Enid.
Oh, hi, Enid. I wanted to call about the insurance. You know, I look at it this way. We really already pay for that because when these kids get sick and they go to the ER, they're going to get medical care, and we're going to pay higher premiums, we're going to pay higher pharmaceutical prices. That's how we pay for it. We already pay for it.
Well, we're paying for it at the higher, at the highest dollar rate. Right. So are you saying his thought is a bad thought or a good thought?
I think it's a good plan. I think that we need to ensure everyone that's in this state and around the country, because I think that it brings us to a level where we're trying to keep our kids healthy. We're at a time now where childhood obesity is out of control, and then you have these girls who are on the other end. They're bulimic and puking all the time. And, you know, we have people kids that need health care, period. And we have to find a way in our hearts to say that no matter who you are, you need health care. You have that right.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's an absolute right of being a citizen in this country to have health care. I am with you, and I think everybody in the state of California, I think we ought to have it nationally. But if we can't do it nationally, then we need to do it state by state, and I think every Californian ought to have it. It ought to be single payer. I'd like to see, but the insurance companies are very powerful. They are very, very, very rich. They don't want to insure you unless you're healthy to begin with, so the least likely person who need insurance. And as I said, did you hear me yesterday? They denied insurance for a college graduate, a recent college graduate. So you got to figure how sick could the kid be? Because he had a previous case of jock itch that had been successfully treated but with cream, and he got denied.
That is truly shameful.
That is truly shameful.
When we live in a country as rich in everything, love, and I mean, come on, we've got to start taking, you should see how we take care of our old people, for God's sake.
Well, we warehouse them and we put them on meds. That's what we do.
The elderly in this country are just treated horribly. If you look at, you know, other cultures, they're not treated that way. They're revered and they're respected.
So why is it that we don't revere our elderly and we don't revere our children as much as we want to overindulge our children to salve our guilt, because we don't revere our children?
You know,
we warehouse them both. We warehouse them on one end if they're kids in daycare. We warehouse them on the other in old age or assisted living or nursing homes on the other end of it. And we pretend to love each other.
If they're too young to vote, they don't care about it.
It's not the politicians, Wendy. It's us. It's us. They're not deciding.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I agree with you. I do. I think you have a point there.
We're going to leave.
We like to sit back and say that we're going to do good, and then we don't.
Well, that's it. We pay lip service to the ideal.
Right.
I think you got it right.
And we don't hold their feet to the fire and make sure that...
No. Don't forget their feet to the fire right now. We don't hold...
They work for us.
Wendy... Here's the bottom line. We don't hold our own feet to the fire. And I think that's where it starts. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Wendy, right about that? She is. We don't hold our own feet to the fire. That's a problem. We pay lip service, and I'm going to give you an example of one place where we do pay lip service. We pay lip service to telling the truth. But we don't pay lip service to telling. It's an ideal to be honest. It's the Boy Scout, Girl Scout ideal to be honest. To tell the truth, you might get a merit badge for that. We encourage our children to grow up and tell the truth, except not when they're writing a memoir. Well, they're calling it a memoir, but it's really fiction, and you can zoom to the top of the bestseller list, and you can make zillions of dollars. The publisher can make zillions of dollars. You, the author, can make zillions of dollars by lying to everybody involved. You have right now a big scandal in a lot of the corporations where they backdated the stock options, the executives did. They lied. They just concocted it. And the SEC is on to them. There are all kinds of investigations. So in business, if you lie, you can get very rich. And that is all spilled over into the way we conduct our lives. So we pay lip service to, we revere our old people, we revere our children, we believe in honesty, we have all these American ideals, and how do we really act in our lives? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Charles and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Enid. I'm really very gratified that the governor is going with universal health care, at least for children. I think it's a good start. And I'm glad he's including everybody, not necessarily just citizens or legal immigrants, because we all will get sick if others around us get sick. It's a disease is an equal opportunity employer, and we all need to be protected from disease. So it would be stupid not to also make sure that the people who are living around us are also protected in their health.
Well, I agree with you. Is this only going to make him more popular?
I don't care. But I
well, it's the right thing to do. You're right.
It's the right thing.
But you know, how is it that how come Phil Angelides could get no traction with this issue? None, zero.
I don't know. Maybe sometimes it takes a Republican to do what is might be slightly unpopular. But
Are you thinking about Nixon going into China?
Kind of, but equal opportunity really is, I think, a bipartisan Republican and Democratic value. And in this case, it has to do with equal opportunity to make sure we can, you know, we can function, we can live, we can work.
That would be a good thing.
Towards the American dream.
If you don't have
health, you don't have anything, as my grandfather used to say.
Yes, and my grandmother used to say that, and my mother used to say that, and you know what? They're all right about that. Thank you for the call, Charles. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Laura in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Hey, I echo Charles' sentiments. However, everyone's going to see a raft of potential legislation for some kind of health care reform this year. And in my personal opinion, I think the only one that's going to be worth getting behind is Senator Sheila Kuehl. And the reason why I believe that hers is the best way to go is because it releases the stranglehold that the insurance industry has on health care. You should not be having a third of your health care dollar go towards profits. That is unconscionable.
I think it's maybe even higher than that. But let me ask you a question, Laura. Schwartz vetoed that. He vetoed Sheila's bill. Is she going to come back with another one?
She is coming back with identical legislation. And as a matter of fact, he vetoed her bill after it had gotten through both houses
That's
of
right.
the legislature.
That's right.
And again, hers is financed by taking away that profit margin, by taking the insurance industry out of the mix.
All right, let me play devil's advocate here. The insurance companies are some of the most powerful companies in America, certainly among the richest. That's number one. Number two, when the Clintons thought that they could run over the insurance companies, try to include them, it wasn't good enough for the insurance companies. And remember, they concocted a huge campaign, Harry and Thelma, or Harry and Louise, or something like that. Harry and Louise. And they ran the Clintons right over and ran that whole business right over. They are not going to go down without a huge and very costly fight.
Agreed.
How are you going to get around that?
But, Enid, keep in mind that when the Clintons came out with their health care reforms, the insurance industry did a twofold attack. Not only did they come out with Harry and Louise to muddy the water, but they also dropped their premium rates precipitously, and it was only in the last few years that they've gone back to double-digit increases per year. And so you're going to see the industry come out guns a-blazing. And keep in mind, when you see this competing legislation by all of the other legislators, find out which ones kowtow to the insurance industry and which ones do not.
Well, also, I think you got to read the fine print. Now, people can say, well, I'm insured. But when you read the fine print, you find out that your insurance cap is at $25, or if you have anything more than a hangnail, you're on your own.
Oh, so Enid. You
can say you're insured, but what does the fine print really say?
Enid, you touched a great point, because while there are way too many uninsured, the majority of us are underinsured. Even though we have coverage, that coverage, all you have to do is have a major medical incident and watch your coverage dry up and blow away, or watch you find yourself unable to get coverage in the future.
Are you in the insurance business, Laura? Are you in the healthcare industry at all?
I am not. I work for a labor union, and most of the people that I represent, healthcare is biggest concern.
Give me an example. So you think you're covered by your employer? Are you talking about self-insured? You know, when you're self-employed and you try to get something from...
No, ma'am. Policies that limit coverage, that put a cap on coverage, that have a lot of outs where, you know, after 30 days of hospitalization, the employer can drop your insurance coverage, but the company itself can drop your insurance coverage. I see people making terrible, terrible choices about, do they pay their rent or their house note or their car note, or do they cover themselves? Can they cover their family? Can they cover their dependent children? Do they earn too much to get their children on healthy families? Just terrible, terrible decisions. no one should have to make these kind of decisions in a country like the United States.
I think it ought to be an absolute bare, non-negotiable. Everybody gets it. Like they do in England. And here's the thing. In England, it's about, for us, per person, it's about $6,500 or so per person. And our life expectancy is lower. Our infant mortality rate is higher. It is about half the cost for France, which is supposed to have a fantastic medical system per person, about half the cost in Australia, and about a third, almost a third, about $2,500 a person in Great Britain. And Canada is about half the cost.
Well,
so and they all have better life expectancy, better infant mortality rates than we do at a far better cost.
All we can say is that we have the most expensive health care, not the best quality health care, not the most equitable health care. And I think that you'll find that there's a huge grassroots groundswell movement for health care now for the year 2007 that's going to culminate in a large rally at the end of August here in Sacramento. And I urge your listeners and you to follow this story so closely because it is so fundamentally important.
Keep us posted on it, Laura, because I think this is a big issue. And I can't believe that it was reported during the election that only 4% of Californians are interested in this issue. I think a lot of people are interested in it. Everybody knows, a lot of people are living, first of all, paycheck to paycheck when they have jobs and when they have coverage. And a lot of people have jobs, but they don't have benefits. They don't have coverage.
Seen it?
Yeah.
Every column that I read from the Dan Walterses and the Daniel Weintraub say that we just, as Californians, we just don't care about health care.
I don't think that's true.
The facts are in complete opposition. This is not a partisan issue. This is a citizen issue. And I just urge you and your listeners to stay on top of this because if you don't personally have a health care horror story, you are related to someone or you work with someone.
Oh, it's, I've heard terrible horror stories. But Laura, I'm glad that you've called us and I hope you'll keep us posted.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to unveil next Monday, according to the LA Times, a proposal that all California uninsured children, and that's about 750,000, even if you're illegal, will be insured. And I don't know how he's going to pay for it. I think it's a great idea. I think everybody should be insured. I think it should be Sheila Kuehl's system. Single payer, universal health care system. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You know, the polling appears to indicate that we don't care that much about health care in California, but I think we care a lot. You know, the polling used to indicate that we had had enough of O.J. Simpson. We're tired of that. Wow, we don't want any more of that. And people couldn't get enough. So I don't know how accurate the polling is on every single subject. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we saw some showers this afternoon. In fact, this morning it smelled really good. It was beautiful. Feels good tomorrow. Not the same, though. 51 for the high, lows tomorrow night and tonight, 31. Traffic going slow southbound 99 just past Fruit Ridge Road. Looks like we do have a two-car crash. Red Dog Road just north of Bridges. Now, that two-car crash is stopping traffic down. It's south on I-5 just south of Pocket Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. The only channel left.
Have you heard? New rule. Stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe, or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Tell me what you need. You know it's on your mind. You say he's usually screwing up your life. He's on
345 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Who's screwing up your life? Would that be the governor? Oh. Well, I have a few more things that I want to add to the conversation. You're listening to Enid Live, and you can join the conversation at 916-349-1320, toll-free, or 866-626-1320, also toll-free. And what we're talking about is Schwarzenegger, the swearing-in is tomorrow. I'll be there, if all goes well. I hope. Well, I'm credentialed. And just where are we going to park? To park tonight to get... Oh, it's going to be crowded. They're expecting about 300 media. And very often when Arnold is involved in something, he's got a big Japanese and European following. So undoubtedly there will be international media there as well. He's proposing that all California children, including those here illegally, be covered with health insurance. And let me give you... commentary about it. The Chronicle, Lydia Gledhill, believes that, she's reporting that insiders believe the governor will endorse a requirement that employers pick this up, that they provide the health insurance for these kids despite the strong opposition that is likely to, engender. The Times believes that several independent sources say that Schwarzenegger intends to guarantee medical coverage for children of families earning up to 300% of poverty level or $60,000 a year for a family of four. Claire Benson over at the Sacramento Bee says that the governor wants to allow families making less than 300% of poverty level to enroll in healthy families and so on. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Sia in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sia.
Hi, I was going to tell you that this past summer, my 18-year-old son and I were in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It was a beautiful Canadian city, and mm-hmm. my son was astounded at how happy Canadians are. And it's my assertion that they are so happy because the minimum wage is over $8 an hour, and they all have health coverage.
You know, it's funny. In today's New York Times, I always like to read the health stories. They interest me a lot, and the research and stuff. And what they're saying is if your body is stressed, you're much more likely to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly makes a lot of sense. And I don't know if I clipped that story or I didn't. I'll look and see. But I remember reading it. And I really think that we are so stressed in this country because we don't have any kind of a safety net.
Yeah.
We are all, the view of us from abroad is that every person is in it for themselves we don't have any support.
And, you know, I could go off on a political tangent on that issue, but I want to add something to this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm over 50 years old, so I pay over $600 a month for my own health insurance.
Yeah.
I pay for it out of pocket because my employer doesn't pay it. I'm not self-employed. So I asked a Democrat why couldn't we make this deductible from our gross incomes? Because people who receive it from their employers don't have to add it to their adjusted gross income and be taxed on it. And they said, good idea. And even a lot of other people must have talked about it because even John Kerry and Barbara Boxer brought it up sometime later. So a lot of people must have brought it up. But I talked to a Republican in the Fair Oaks area, talked to his office, and his thing was, well, we'll just go to work for someone who gives you insurance. And it's not applicable to my situation, and it's not even an answer.
No, it's not an answer. First of all, jobs are not that easy to find. The right jobs are not that easy to find. And you're saying that you're in a job that doesn't pay benefits.
Right.
Doesn't pay you benefits.
Right.
So you've got to take it out of your pocket. And I think you ought to start peppering. Why don't you contact Sheila Kuehl's office?
Well, I will. I've been in school full time, and I'm done with school now. And so as soon as I get a regular job, that's going to be my political thing that I'll be doing. It really is an issue.
But I think the thing that you brought up originally, I think that when you know that you have some support,
mm-hmm.
That really removes all kinds of stress that you don't even know that you're carrying from your life.
I agree.
And I think it helps to make you healthier. I think it helps to make a more vibrant society. I think it's one of those investments that only pays off hugely whatever it costs.
And, you know, for me personally, I would rather spend this much money on health care and know that if I get sick, I can still keep my house. And I would rather not sell my house under stress. If I think that I can't afford health insurance, I'd rather sell my house on my terms to be able to afford my health
insurance. Oh, there are many stories. You know, as I said, many people are living paycheck to paycheck. And even many people who are not living paycheck to paycheck who think that they're okay, some catastrophic illness where they think they have insurance or they think they have coverage or maybe sometimes they don't have anything, wipes them out. Just
yeah,
wipes them out. So you lose. You not only lose your health, but you might lose your house and the life as you knew it, and so on. It can be horrible.
You know, you can have health insurance and not have employment because you can't work, and you can still lose your house. So that is another issue.
No.
But so anyway, I'm really glad you're talking about this, and I'm really glad it's a conversation, and I hope it keeps being a conversation. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sia. Thanks for calling. 349-1320. Ray and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ray.
Hi, I'm retired, and I think I'm against this proposal. First of all, when I first retired, quite a few 10 years ago, my health and welfare was $50 a month, and I had great coverage. Today, I'm paying $360 a month for health coverage. We're going to take and bring all these people into this country and give that away to them for free. It has to be paid for with taxes. My tax are going to go up in California. I'm on a fixed income. I'm not going to get any more. My health coverage in the last 10 years has eroded to where I now have a $2,500 deductible every year that I never had.
Well, are you old enough for Medicare?
No, I'm not. I'm not eligible for Medicare yet. I'm 62.
Okay, and how old do you have to be? 65 for Medicare?
65.
Okay, so in 3 years, is your health relatively good?
Well, good, but it keeps going up in price. And
No, is your health fairly good?
No, it's fair. I'm with Kaiser. I have a $10 copay for medications, $20 for a examination, and I have to come up with the first $2,500, and then anything after that catastrophic.
What does Kaiser cost you a month, did you tell me?
$364 a month.
For you or you you and your
me
wife?
Alone. Me alone.
Just you alone, $364 a month for Kaiser.
Went from 50 to 364. And
I think a lot of people would say, and I'm no expert on this, and I know if you're retired, that's a bite, but I think a lot of people would say that $54 or $64 a month is a lot less than a lot of people are paying. You just heard the last woman, she's 50, and she's paying $600 a month.
I heard it. I was listening to the radio.
She's 12 years younger than you are, and she is paying almost double what you're paying. And I don't know what she's getting, what you're getting.
When she gets to be 62, if we bring it, if we in California accept all of our illegal babies, pretty soon we're going to have 20 million of them.
Yeah, but what if those illegal babies all have tuberculosis that you happen to be passing by as they're all pooping in their diapers and you inhale it?
I feel sorry for these people.
You might get the tuberculosis. Ray, you may get the TB. You can't, it's a public health issue. You can't look at it as it's my tax dollars. You've got to see it, I think, as a public health issue. But we will register your response to this and see how people respond. And I thank you for the call. 349-1312. What do you think about what Ray says? He's finding it a stretch to pay his insurance, his Kaiser premiums every month. And he doesn't want to pay for illegals coming in for their health care coverage. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have slow-moving traffic, southbound 99, right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Usually about a 2- and 3-car crash. We have one just right there by Elk Grove Boulevard as well. Honor Road, at southbound 99, a 2-car crash. And I-5 and J Street, a 3-car crash involving a big rig. It looks like two little cars got into it over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know what you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive, massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you.
And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House.
I accept this gavel in the spirit of partnership, not
You're listening to AM 13.
Some major personnel changes in the Bush's left channel.
I'm Mark Holder, streaming live. This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was all smiles and handshakes today as the 110th Congress convened with the Democrats in control. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports from Capitol Hill.
The new Democratic Congress convened with pomp and ceremony and something very new, a woman in the chair. Democrat Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House, the highest elected position any woman has held in American history.
Today we have broken the marble ceiling. For our daughters and our granddaughters now, the sky is the limit.
But there are limits to what she and other Democrats can accomplish with President Bush in the White House and the narrowest of margins in the Senate. The Democratic leader there, Harry Reid of Nevada, said they can only move ahead by working together, and that's what they'll do.
We in the Senate are committed to bipartisanship.
The first order of business for the new Congress, ethics and lobby reform, after the scandals that helped bring these Democrats to power. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
American voters are upbeat, according to the latest CBS News poll.
68% of Americans say they feel optimistic about the next 2 years with the Democrats in control of Congress, while just a quarter are pessimistic.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit. By a wide margin, people say Congress should concentrate on Iraq, but only 8% believe the Democrats have a clear plan, and just 20% think President Bush does. Minutes ago, the president said he'll announce his plan next week. Now this.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-540-1633. Call 1-800-540-1633 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-540-1633.
The new strategy in Iraq will include new military commanders. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger has breaking news.
Admiral William Fallon, currently the commander-in-chief of the Pacific, will replace General John Abizade at U.S. Central Command. And Lieutenant General David Petraeus, who was in charge of the training of the Iraqi military, is going to replace General George Casey, who's now the top commander in Iraq.
And another hint of a troop surge. White House spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki had an hour and 45-minute teleconference today.
They talked about various, the one thing that they were talking about the importance of having sufficient force within Baghdad to create a stable situation within the city.
At the midpoint of President Bush's second term, some top-level changes. CBS News has learned that Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador in Baghdad, will be nominated for ambassador to the U.N., and White House counsel Harriet Myers, a confidant from the president's days as Texas governor, is stepping down.
In her letter of resignation, effective the end of the month, Myers did not say why she's leaving. Spokesman Tony Snow only said she's had 6 years of hard duty at the White House.
She informed the president yesterday, and he has regretfully accepted her resignation.
Myers has been a longtime, deeply loyal advisor to Mr. Bush, but the tenure got bumpy in 2005 when he named her to succeed Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court. It produced an outcry among some top conservatives who questioned her qualifications, and Mr. Bush withdrew the nomination just a few weeks later. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Today, administration officials confirmed that National Intelligence Director John Negroponte will be moving to the State Department. As the thermometer goes up, oil prices go down. The steep slide continued today with oil futures plunging nearly $3 to $55.59 a barrel.
The incredibly warm weather is really weighing on prices.
Analyst John Kilduff says winter fuel demand is very weak in the eastern two-thirds of the nation, where the weather's been so spring-like that cherry blossoms are coming out. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I'm craving for this little lady. I'm faking for my little baby, cause she makes me feel good. She's so fine, don't need.
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the second hour of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can easily, we can converse together in a number of ways. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. And we have an increasingly broad audience way beyond Sacramento because we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. So you can be working and we can keep you company. You can be pretending to work and we can be your main absorption. But wherever you are, you can you don't have to lose track of us and you can find out what's going on as you're on the road somewhere. And the best way, though, is to call. And the more you call, the richer the conversation becomes. And we have got a wonderfully rich conversation that goes on every day. It is a very large conversation. It encompasses people in the area and the broader audience that listens to us all over the place, all over the world, actually. I think we've gotten cards from the Virgin Islands and England. So you can join the conversation at 349-1320, toll-free, or 866-626-1320. We began the broadcast by talking about health care because Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to unveil his health care program, and he's going to do it next Monday, according to published reports. We don't know how he's going to pay for it. He's going to start out by advocating health care for uninsured children, and there are about 750,000 of them. The reporter at the Times, at the LA Times, says that Schwarzenegger intends to guarantee medical coverage for children of families earning up to 300% of the poverty level, or $60,000 a year for a family of four. These families have 90% of the children without insurance, but the cutoff is not yet set in stone. He is also wanting to insure illegal children. Clea Benson over at the Bee says that the governor wants to allow families making less than 300% of the poverty level to enroll in Healthy Families, which is a government-subsidized insurance program, and Schwarzenegger is expected to propose covering more uninsured adults by requiring individuals to have insurance and employers to help pay for that. So, you know, the employers are going to get stuck with it. You might be a very impoverished worker, and you're going to have to pay for it. How are you going to do it? And Linda Gledhill from the Chronicle, I think it's Lydia Gledhill, isn't it? From the Chronicle says that insiders believe the governor will endorse a requirement that employers provide the health care. So what do you think about that? Illegals, I think it's fine. I have no problem with it because if you are suffering from a disease infects you, it doesn't ask you whether you're here legally or you're not here legally. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And as I said, I will be covering the Schwarzenegger swearing in tomorrow at scheduled for about 11 o'clock, 10:30 or 11 o'clock, and I'll bring you a report. It should be pretty interesting, and Schwarzenegger has canceled the only appearance he was going to be making for anything that was open to the public because he's saying that he's having some health issues. 349-1320, man in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, man. Man?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Is this for Ed Mann, is it?
There you go.
Okay. You were talking about health care and all, and how do we pay for it? And we have a trade deficit every month of $60 to $70 billion. Now somebody is making a profit off of that, and most of the time it's firms like Greedy Mart, Exxon Mobil, and all those people. If we would insist that they provide benefits equal to the benefits given by, say, the Teamsters Union or the UAW or some of those. You know, we're killing the unions, and they're the ones that have brought the prosperity to us mainly, because they have brought the living standard up, and people.
But I'm not getting your point, man. What is your point?
My point is that let's let these people who are benefiting from not having any health benefits make them pay those health benefits, because they're the ones that are ripping off the public. And the workers.
Are you talking about the big corporations, the Exxons?
I am. I'm talking about Greedy Mart and Exxon Mobil and some of those.
Who's Greedy Mart?
Well, they call them Walmart, but it's Greedy
Mart. Oh, Greedy Mart. I see. Okay, gotcha. All right. I thank you very much for the call. Now, you know, here's the point. Some of the big oil companies are not being forced, and the government is not enforcing the royalties that they are supposed to be paying, and it is a huge scandal, and I hope that the Democrats investigate all that. So there's all this big giveaway for big business, but if you're somebody who's really barely making it, who has a job that pays no benefits, or who has a job that pays not much more than minimum minimum wage, if that. We don't have money for you, but we've got all these giveaways for the big corporations. 349-1320, Peter in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
I'm a new small business owner. I started up my IT business in October, and you know, starting up a new business is hard enough without even having employees, and then, you know, being able to pay their salary and have income to continue with your business and pay your own personal.
You're going to get stuck with this, Peter. That's what's going to happen here. Small business owners are going to get stuck.
I know, and I think it's the government's way of pushing it off is not their responsibility of providing you know, affordable health care for the American public. Period.
Well, no, they don't want to insult the people who pay their way. You know, Schnorsi went with his cup in his hand to Blue Cross of California and Chevron and all the big corporations so that they would pay to a maximum of $50,000 a person to pay for this imperial inauguration that he's going to have tomorrow night. So you think he wants to stick him with the bill? I don't think so. He'd rather stick you with the bill, Peter. You didn't pay $50,000. You're probably not even going to pay $500 a person to go tomorrow to watch his to watch how orange his makeup is.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. What's your business, an IT business?
Yeah. I do everything from Microsoft support, Macintosh, Cisco, wireless security, web design, you name it.
How many people do you have working for you?
What's that?
How many people do you have working for you?
Right now, it's just me. I've been in the field for 8 years, and I just started my business, and you know, I've got three or four new customers.
Well, don't get too upset in advance because it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And the Republicans, when they hear that illegals are going to be covered, they're gonna try to jam this thing up. And when a lot of employers think they're going to have to pay more for it, they're not going to be too thrilled about it either.
Well, I mean,
so don't get aggravated in advance because it will only send you to the ER. And are you covered yourself with insurance?
No, I'm not right now because I'm starting my own business. It's hard enough. I just, you know, the concept was to make this a requirement for, you know, businesses. That's what you were saying. And then I said, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, starting my own new business is hard enough, let alone, you know, leaving my corporate job of 8 years and all my health benefits to pursue my dream of owning my own business is hard enough. And
well, we're losing. Yes, I can understand your angst about it. We're losing. You're breaking up a little bit, but lots of good luck to you. And don't get upset in advance. It hasn't happened yet.
No problem.
Okay,
right,
thanks, Peter. 349-1320. Kathy in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, good. You know, I'm a labor rep. I bargain contracts for public employees, and we spend a lot of time at the bargaining table arguing about who should pay the bill, whether it should be the employee or the employer, and in what proportions. But what we're not ever really dealing with the real issue, which is why is the bill so much?
You know, Kathy, you've got to, I can hardly hear you. You're really muddled. Are you talking too close to the phone or what? To hold it away.
No, I'm just probably moving into cell hell.
Okay, so can you move it away a little bit away from your, move it a little away from you and see if
sure.
I can. Okay, a little bit.
We keep not asking why the cost is so high. We put the responsibility on employees. We put the responsibility on employers, and these health insurance companies are continuing to make bank on us without really explaining why those costs are so high.
So you're saying that they're making lots of money on us. They just give us the cost as a fait accompli, and nobody does any kind of an investigation as to what these costs are about. Let me tell you, the executives, the administrative costs are horrendous for these companies. They are you know, the cost of the actual medical care is one thing, but the administrative costs are something else entirely. And what the that guy who ran United Healthcare, he walked out with a package that was worth, gee, I want to say about $1 billion. I think it was awfully close to that.
And it's great. And the thing is that this legislation is still continuing the same argument. Who should pay the bill? And nobody is asking why the bill is so big.
Well, we've got to ask why the bill is so big, and I think we all pay the bill. I think we create the pool from which the insurance happens. And the insurance companies can think about, they can turn themselves into geckos and think about some other line of work.
Yes.
Kathy, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I want to add to the conversation as well First of all, today is an historic day, and today is the day when we have the first female Speaker of the House. And she is number three in line. If we were to actually impeach Dick and Dickie, Nancy Pelosi could be the accidental president of the United States. I mean, I'm just saying that. I don't know how likely it is that Dick and Dickie are going to be impeached, but there is a lot of movement, a lot of left, liberal left movement, hard left movement, to for the Democrats to really step on the gas, to really take on some of these tough issues and not to be timid about it. And there is a big movement toward impeachment. Now, you know, it diverts the country. There are lots of reasons for it. There are lots of reasons against it, I think. But you've got Dickie, who has just replaced General Casey with somebody who will be more amenable to the surge. You've got an administration that's out of control, and you've got a left wing here that is increasingly making itself heard. Now, I want to flip this around, because the conservatives have always had a hard right wing that they have had to pander to. I don't know if anybody has really pandered to the left wing. I don't know if they're really planning to pander to the left wing. I don't know if Democrats really regard the left wing the way the right wing does, or the way the Republicans do, as a foundation of their base. I don't know that. But I just wanted to, sort of throw that out, because this is an historic day. And the one thing that we never hear about is, who is Nancy Pelosi married to? Does anybody, you know, if you've been reading the San Francisco Chronicle, you read about Nancy and Paul Pelosi. But we don't know a whole lot about Paul Pelosi. Well, we know he's a very successful investor. We know that he has been very supportive of Nancy Pelosi. We know, as it turns out, that he has taken great pains to invest in the kinds of things that would not reflect poorly on her. For more than 20 years, Paul Pelosi has been able to stay in the shadows, even as the millions he has made as a successful San Francisco financier and businessman have helped to fuel his wife's political career. I have made a conscious effort to not be involved in or give the appearance of being involved in her political career. That could change now that she is the first female elected Speaker of the House of Representatives. The couple's net worth, most of it linked to Paul Pelosi's investments, has made Nancy Pelosi the ninth richest person in the 435-member House. The family money, along with the many business and social connections Paul Pelosi has brought to their 43-year marriage, gave Nancy Pelosi the financial independence she needed to spend long hours doing unpaid Democratic Party business in the 70s and in the 80s. Paul Pelosi is not naive about political matters. Described by his wife as a real progressive Democrat, he was willing to uproot their five children from their home in Presidio Terrace in 1987 and move to a rented place in Pacific Heights, firmly inside the congressional district that Nancy Pelosi was set to run for. And the reason she ran is that Sally Burton, on her deathbed, urged Nancy to run for the seat, and Sally Burton was the wife of the legendary Phil Burton. She was Polish-born, I think a Polish Jew, actually, Sally Burton. But she urged Nancy Pelosi to run, and so the family uprooted itself, and they firmly ensconced itself in that district. Paul Pelosi was intimately involved in his wife's first election, joining two veterans San Francisco politicians, Lieutenant Governor Leo McCarthy, and former Representative John Burton, who would be Phil's younger brother, as the triumvirate behind the successful campaign. And this is according to Clint Riley, who was then Nancy Pelosi's campaign consultant. Paul Pelosi was very helpful in the campaign and helped raise the money. Riley said he took an interest in how the campaign was being run and attended meetings with me to make sure the campaign was on track. Apparently, he is very effective. Apparently, he has taken great care so that, unlike, say, Richard Blum, Dianne Feinstein's investor husband, he's taken great care so that any of his financial investments are about as criticism-free as investments can ever be. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. If he's in the room, it's about like Nancy is in the room. He's a very effective surrogate, said Clint Riley. In case you were wondering who Nancy Pelosi was married to, you don't see him much in the coverage, but he's an attractive and supportive and very rich man. Sharon in Roseville, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Enid. I have a question with regard to Bush and Cheney. In terms of impeachment, what I'm wondering is, why we have to go through an impeachment process with them, why we can't just go ahead and try them for treason.
What are the grounds for treason?
Well, they lied to the American public. If you look at every one of their patterns have been to steal from the American public, and they've killed the American public based on lies. What they've done is they've basically tried to make this country into a dictatorship, and controlling, trying to, at this point, it looks like they want to go ahead and start eliminating one by one the people that disagree with them.
Well, I want to add to the conversation, but I, you know, anybody who's an attorney, and particularly a constitutional attorney, we have lots of law schools around us. I would love to hear from you, because I don't know how easy it is to make a case for treason or whether it's easier to make a case for impeachment. I don't know. And I don't know how roiled the country would be, but I think we got to stop Bush from sending in more people, more troops. And we have got some senior Democrats who it looked like might go along with it, but I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. I think they're saying one thing, and I think when it comes down to it, maybe they won't go.
They put the American public at risk. And personally, I think that they were aware. I mean, there's just too many connections to Osama bin Laden and the Saudi.
So, Sharon, what you're saying is you want to see a trial. Sharon, you want to see a, you want a trial, you want either impeachment or you want a trial for treason. Is that what you're saying?
I want whatever happens the fastest, because I want them out.
I want them out. I want them out, too, yesterday. I agree with you, and I thank you for the call. So let me ask you this question. Is the, are the Democrats going to pay attention to their base, part of their base, which would be liberal Democrat, progressives, who really want to see some kind of impeachment and who really want to see investigations and who really want to see the Democrats step on the gas and not be namby-pamby and not be too timid? I want to continue that line of discussion, and I also want to add something that is really startling as we continue. They want to start reading our mail. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have slow-moving traffic southbound 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road. We also have westbound I-80 and right there by Madison Avenue. On the way to Roseville, we have a two-car crash. Southbound Cap City Freeway just south of P Street and a two-car crash westbound 50 just west of Power Inn Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Can you hear that?
whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, and CBS is reporting they're going to be, doing a special report. But CBS News reports changes in the U.S. military leadership in the Iraq War. You probably know this. Admiral William Fallon will replace U.S. Central Command Chief General John Avezade, and Lieutenant General David Petraeus will replace the commander in Iraq, General George Casey. And, you know, the administration gushed over George Casey a year ago, and now, because he's anti-surge, that's it. He's history, and adios to you, and don't... And here, Bush repeatedly gushed with praise for General Casey in a recent New York Times piece on the unraveling of President Bush's Iraq strategy. Unnamed White House officials are quoted as claiming that Bush lost confidence in Casey over the past year or so. So everybody thought it would be interesting to go back and see what sort of things Bush said, and all he could do was gush about Casey. And so now that it's not going well, and Rumsfeld was one reason it didn't go well, and the stupidity of the enterprise is another reason Iraq hasn't gone well, got to get rid of the general, and let's pour more money into it. Let's pour more lives into it. Let's pour more troops into it. So we have the left and the hard left moving toward impeachment. We're trying to agitate, demonstrating, wanting to let the Democrats know that it's time to step on the gas. And I have a new poll here from CBS News just released. The start of the 110th Congress. Americans are upbeat about the next 2 years in the new democratically controlled Congress. As Democrats take control of Congress, the president's approval ratings remain low, just 30%. So 70% think he's not doing a good job, and 30% do. This is really pretty terrible. Even after the execution of Saddam Hussein, his approval rating for handling Iraq remains at 23%, about the same as Dick Cheney, I think. By the way, it's been reported that Dickie never even watched the video. Do you believe that? And if he didn't, is he exercising his job as president? 349-1320-866-626-1320. John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Oh, am I on the air?
You are, John. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, you talked me into calling. First time. Hey, regarding...
Well, welcome.
Regarding this impeachment deal, you know, the Democrats have got to step on the gas. I mean, how else are we going to regain credibility around the world? You know, all the damage that's been done over the past 5 years.
Do you think that there's enough support from moderates and from other people for impeachment?
Well, I don't know if the support is there, but even isn't the process you're impeached by the Senate, impeached by the House, tried by the Senate. So, you know, we got Democrats in both houses of Congress now. Whether or not
you want to pray for Tim Johnson, don't you?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have much going on in the Senate yet. Exactly. I mean, yes, on paper.
He probably doesn't have the
Oh, John, you're going to have to call us back. You've broken up, and I can't hear you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay. I want to, first of all, this is a delicious piece of news, and that is that Charlie Rangel has evicted Dick Cheney from his office in the Capitol. Charlie Rangel, who once called Dick Cheney a son of a bitch, threw him out. And the reason he threw him out is it used to be, well, not literally threw him out, but it used to be Cheney's office. And Rangel has inherited this grand office with an exquisite view. The ornate room is just yards off the House floor in the Democratic cloakroom where power brokers meet and has a spectacular view of the Capitol's east front. Rangel was giddy at the prospect of giving Cheney the boot the day after Democrats delivered Republicans a crushing defeat on Election Day. Mr. Cheney, he says, enjoys an office on the second floor of the House of Representatives that historically has been designated for the Ways and Means Committee chairman, Rangel said after the election. So now, here is Rangel throwing out Dick Cheney, adios. And don't slip on another banana peel. Catherine in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Catherine.
Hi there. I just want to say that I think we have been done a disservice with all this talk about how great it was that President Ford pardoned Nixon. I don't think we'd be in the fix we're in now if he had upheld the charges against Nixon and let him that whole thing be investigated. I think that Bush has so subverted our laws that an investigation is very much in order and we ought to support it immediately.
I would love to see an investigation. I absolutely agree with you. Investigations ought to start as quickly as possible. And you've got some people who are champing at the bit to do it, among them Henry Waxman, God bless him.
Yes.
I think John Conyers also.
Yes. And isn't it 635, House Resolution 635, that we want our congresswoman and all our congresspeople to support? To support the idea of investigation, which is Conyers' resolution.
Okay.
Okay, everybody listening?
Catherine, you got to be the cheerleader. You get your megaphone out there.
This is it. I'm willing to let happen. You know, I'm willing to trust to the justice of the process. I'm not looking for an outcome.
I agree with you. And you know, here's the other thing that you can thank Gerald Ford for. You can thank him for Dick Cheney and for Don Rumsfeld.
Not thanks.
Yeah, no thanks is right. Thanks, Catherine. I appreciate the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, south on Cap City Freeway, just south of P Street, we have a two-car crash. Northbound 99, very slow. Elm Avenue right there, there's a two-car crash slowing things down. Southbound 99, you know what, I might as well just say from Fruit Ridge Road, 47th, all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard, there's a couple of crashes. Very slow-moving traffic, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's all about you.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters.
Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that problem. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine.
4:39 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. We're talking about what it means that Nancy Pelosi has now acceded to Speaker of the House. She's number 3. You know, isn't it funny? Couldn't she be an accidental president? She's really number 3 behind the president and the vice president. If any, if they should both be impeached, anything should happen to them. If both, they both decided to resign for better jobs, collect those unemployment benefits, I don't know. Had a health care crisis, were impeached, were investigated, wouldn't that be? So some of you calling about the left wing, which is really making a very strong push for the Democrats to act like Democrats, to step up to the plate, to really insist on investigations occurring. And I don't know if the Democrats are going to pay as much attention to their base as the Republicans have paid to their base. Now, we've talked about the surge quite a lot. About the delusional president who's now replaced yet another general because he thinks he can, you know, if I can just get the right general, if I can just squander enough lives, if I can just put enough money behind this, I know we can win this because, you know, this is a brilliant idea. You know, the world just doesn't see how brilliant this Iraq idea has been. And I know it looks a little bit shaky, but gosh, I'm a gambler and I know I've lost zillions of dollars at the table, but if I just have a few more zillions, I know I can turn it around. I know that we can live in hog heaven forever and ever and ever. Oh, my goodness. So here's what this delusional president is up to, in addition to the surge. And Jack Murtha, has talked about how he wants to fence in the money. He didn't want to provide any more money. He wants to start using this money that we would use to finance 20,000 more troops in Iraq. He wants to use that money for health care for the troops coming back, to take care of them when they get back. Because, you know, this is an administration that wants to stiff the very people who have been serving, who have been giving their health and sometimes their lives for this benighted cause. So here is what's being reported, and this is even, you know, they're getting stiffed, we're all getting stiffed, and here's just another example of it. President Bush has quietly claimed sweeping new powers to open Americans' mail without a judge's warrant. And listen to how he did it. This is just as duplicitous as everything that this administration has been about. The president asserted his new authority. What he did is he signed a law that said absolutely the opposite of that, and then he exempted himself with a signing statement that said, yeah, but he could do it, but he was exempt. So listen to this. The president asserted his new authority when he signed a postal reform bill into law December the 20th. Bush then issued a signing statement that declared his right to open people's mail under emergency conditions. The claim, that claim is contrary to existing law and contradicted the bill that he just signed. So let's just say the bill said you have no right and the government cannot open mail without a warrant. And he signed, oh yeah, I'm going to sign that. Oh, aren't I? You know, I just signed that bill. And see, I'm in favor of not abrogating civil rights, and I, you know, we're not going to go look at your mail and yada yada. And then, under the cover of darkness in the middle of the night, he signs a signing statement that says, yeah, but it doesn't apply to me. I've just exempted the government here from this bill that was meant to fool all of you. Bush's move came during the winter congressional recess and a year after his secret domestic electronic eavesdropping program had been first revealed. It caught Capitol Hill by surprise. Despite the president's statement that he may be able to circumvent a basic privacy protection, the new postal law continues to prohibit the government from snooping into people's mail without a warrant, said our friend Henry Waxman, Representative Henry Waxman, Democrat, of course, from California, the incoming House Government Reform Committee chairman who co-sponsored the bill. So Henry Waxman co-sponsors a bill that says the government cannot snoop into your mail, and Dickey signs it. Oh, he's happy to sign it. You know, that's one of the things he can write, his name. Plays well with others. Signs it, and then when you are not looking and when I am not looking, and when we're all busy with holiday, and when nobody is looking, he exempts the government with a single stroke of a signing statement. Is this amazing? Is this not amazing? Experts said the new powers could easily be abused and used to vacuum up large amounts of mail. The Bush signing statement claims authority to open domestic mail without a warrant. And that would be new and quite alarming, said the director for the Center for National Security Studies in Washington. The danger is they are reading Americans' mail, she said. You have to be concerned. Here's the laugh. Is anybody getting any mail besides bills? I mean, do you actually get a letter from anybody? I haven't gotten a letter. Well, I got Christmas cards. And every once in a while, I have some older relatives, and I get a note from one or two of them. But in general, I'm getting emails. And the last time I got a really nice note on good stationery, it's been a while since I got a really nice note on good stationery. So I don't know how many of us are actually getting mail, but maybe a lot of people still are, that isn't a bill. The danger is that they're reading Americans' mail. You have to be concerned. It takes executive branch authority beyond anything we have ever known. A top Senate Intelligence Committee aide promised it's something we are going to look into. Well, they better. Most of the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act deals with mundane reform measures, but it also explicitly reinforced protections of first-class mail from searches without a court approval. So, if you are sending first-class mail, it does not get searched unless there is specific court approval. The court approves a search, and they have to be given some reason for doing that. Yet in a statement, Bush said he will, quote, construe an exception, rather like he construed this whole war, rather like he construed weapons of mass destruction, which provides for opening of an item of a class of mail otherwise sealed against inspection in a manner consistent with the need to conduct searches in exigent circumstances. So he's going to construe whether or not he's going to look, you know, remember Carnac, when Johnny Carson did his Carnac bit, you know, he'd look at the envelope that Ed McMahon would give him, you know, he'd look and see, yeah, what's it saying there? And he'd give you the answer, and then they had the funny question. He's going to look at it, you know, with his x-ray vision, and he's going to construe what that letter says, and they're going to open it up, and they're going to read it. And I wonder if they're going to stamp and say, this has been opened. You know, like they do with your luggage at the airport, and if it's been inspected after you've checked it in, sometimes there's a note and a broken lock. You know, you've been there, haven't you? In certain circumstances, such as the proverbial ticking bomb, the Constitution does not require warrants, said a White House spokeswoman. Bush, however, cited exigent circumstances, which could refer to an imminent danger or a longstanding state of emergency. Can I tell you, he is the biggest danger that this country is facing. He is by far the biggest danger. Have they caught anybody? I mean, everything they do is a complete joke. 349-1320-866-626-1320. And, you know, we're concentrating on the Pelosi matter today. We've had a week's worth of Gerald Ford, practically. And all of it is beside the point of what is really going on. I'm not trying to demean Nancy, and I'm not trying to demean the dear departed Gerald Ford. But we have really serious issues going on, and no, you know, we're not seeing the coverage of that. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Tom in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing? I thought I'd throw something else on the table. I mean, let's take a look at the Gerald Ford scenario. I mean, all of a sudden, Dick Cheney gets sick, you know, he resigns, President Bush appoints somebody else as vice president, pardons Cheney, resigns, and someone pardons him.
Wait a minute. Give me this scenario. I got to get a dance card to keep up with you. What's this?
Well, you know, any time Cheney, his health is not the best, so he could, you know, say I can't take the pressure of the job anymore and resign from my health, and then have the president maybe appoint somebody like John McCain as vice president, and then all of a sudden Bush pardons Cheney for anything that he might have done. He resigns, and McCain pardons Bush. So I think the Democrats need to get on the stick quick and get this guy out.
Whoa, what a scenario. Tom, you should be writing novels.
Pardon that?
I said, what a scenario. You should be writing novels.
Ah, well, thank you. So I think it's realistic with all these...
Not McCain, though. I don't see him appointing McCain because weren't they rivals?
Pardon?
I don't see him appointing McCain. Weren't they rivals?
Well, the thing of it is, who's going to make the pardon? I mean, if McCain has an one-upsman and that being the incumbent president, that has a lot of political, you know, money and power to that particular position.
So everybody's going to resign and pardon everybody else? And then if they're pardoned, they can't ever be prosecuted?
That's it. And they can't. We're going to give them, you know, his retirement and have all that... Secret Service protection, whether it's here in Paraguay or whatever the place may be, and cost the American public a hell of a lot more money than the guy deserves.
Tom, I think you better write a novel. This is pretty good. I like it. Thank you for calling. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have lows tonight right around 37. Highs coming up 51 tomorrow. Some chill, but no rain. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard en route to South Bend 99. We have a vehicle stopping traffic down there, literally. In fact, all the way to Elk Grove Boulevard, we have really slow traffic. I-5 and J Street South Bend, we have a two-car crash. And it looks like that's about it. The more in South Sac, South Bend I-5, just south of Hood and Franklin as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
For a limited time at Mattress.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
Four on the Thursday edition of Enid Live, the pre-inaugural edition of Enid Live. We'll be there tomorrow, and today was the big deal for Nancy Pelosi. And we're talking about a lot of different things in this hour, adding to the health care discussion, because the governor is going to seek health care insurance for all children, even if they're illegals. And who's going to pay for it? It could be that it's going to fall on the shoulders of employers. Definitely, I don't think the insurers are going to be doing the share that they ought to be doing. And I really like Sheila Kuehl's system of a single-payer health care. We have found out that in the middle of the night, when nobody was looking, and over the holidays, the president signed legislation that Henry Waxman had something to do with. He was, I believe, a co-sponsor of the legislation. He did. It was the House Government Reform Committee chairman is who he is. And this was to keep the government from snooping in your mail. So Dickey signs it. Oh, yeah, we don't want the government snooping in your mail. And then he exempts himself in a signing statement. He has done more signing statements than I think all presidents combined. So everything this man does is duplicitous. And, you know, the more I think, well, maybe we should. It's like I cannot contain my contempt for him in terms of whether or not he ought to be investigated. The surge thing you're watching. You know, we talked yesterday, for example, about this guy who was standing, a 50-year-old construction worker, standing on a subway. He's got his two daughters, one's 4, one's 6 with him. The guy next to him, the guy standing on the, you know, waiting for the subway, is African-American. The guy next to him is a 20-year-old Caucasian, a white guy, who suddenly stumbles. They go to him, and then he starts going into seizure and falls, tumbles over into the track of the train, and the train is an oncoming train. What would you do? What would you do to save somebody? Would you have the nerve to jump, and you don't know where is a live wire, which tracks are live. You don't know where you're going to fall. He jumped on top of him. The train saw him but could not brake in time. Five cars, it sounded like he rolled sort of to the side of the track, but was brushed by five cars, if you can believe that. The kid that he was protecting is under observation but appeared to be unscathed. Maybe he had other problems. And the construction guy refused medical treatment, and today the universe is treating him like a hero. His boss bought him lunch, which consisted of a hero sandwich, ham and cheese hero sandwich, told him to take the day off. Other people are pressing cash on him, and the guy just, he tried to save a fellow human being that he never saw before in his whole life. I mean, an amazing act of heroism. And you have this president who only wants to throw everybody else under the bus, who never took his turn to do anything, who took a smart student's place at Yale or at Harvard when he was a legacy at both, and who somebody else had to take his place to go to Vietnam. And now, as president, we are all being thrown under the bus because he tells you that there are weapons of mass destruction, and this is why we should go to war, and there are no weapons of mass destruction. And he tells you he's signing something so that the government cannot read your mail willy-nilly, and then under the dead of night, he unsigns it or exempts himself with a signing statement. And then, if it isn't bad enough that the country is in a mess and it's chaotic, and that Iraq is a complete and utter failure, he changes generals and he wants to send 20,000 more people, sacrificing other people's lives. Well, if
I'm Bill Whitney. Two top generals are being replaced. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger reports Admiral William Fallon, the Pacific commander, will take over U.S. Central Command, relieving General John Abizade. And Lieutenant General David Petraeus will replace General George Casey as the top U.S. commander in Iraq.
The new Secretary of Defense, Bob Gates, clearly decided that he needed to get his own team in place. And that's exactly what he's done. And he also wants a team that he knows is going to support the president's new strategy on Iraq.
Late today, Mr. Bush said he'll unveil his plan soon. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has that.
Though he gave no specifics, President Bush makes it sound as though he's decided to send more troops to Iraq as part of a new strategy.
One thing is for certain, I will want to make sure that the mission is clear and specific and can be accomplished.
Mr. Bush says his thinking on a new way forward in Iraq is taking shape and he'll be ready to announce it next week, though he refused to say what day. Asked about the taunting of Saddam Hussein just before his hanging, Mr. Bush said he wished the execution had been more dignified, but he said Saddam was given justice. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Some of the players in the Bush administration are changing. CBS News has learned that Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, will be brought home to serve as ambassador at the U.N. And at the White House, counsel Harriet Myers, the president's longtime advisor, has resigned effective January 30th. The daggers have already come out, but for most of the 110th Congress's first day, it was all sweetness and light. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
It was a festive day on Capitol Hill, at least for Democrats, celebrating their return to power after a dozen years. The words on everybody's lips, including those of new House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was bipartisanship.
We have an obligation to reach beyond partisanship to work for all Americans.
But not long after that, partisan sniping was alive and well on the House floor as debate started over a tough new package of ethics and lobby rules that Republicans say they weren't consulted on. Democrats also promised quick action on raising the minimum wage and forcing prices down for drugs in the new Medicare program. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
At least one possible tornado touched down late today in southern Louisiana, smashing mobile homes. Sid Abair is the sheriff in Iberia Parish.
We have a total of two deaths. I have two critically injured, which I'm fearing their future because of the damage that was done to them when the trailers completely collapsed on them. I am still missing three children, ages from 15 on down.
About 16 trailers were damaged, six homes damaged or destroyed. Today on Wall Street, the Dow gained 6 points, the Nasdaq rose 30, and the price of oil fell nearly $3 a barrel. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants, just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Premiering this Sunday at 9, 8 Central on VH1. 10 Surreal Life All-Stars, including Vanilla Ice, Emmanuel Lewis, Sandra Peppa Denton, and Brigitte Nielsen, must put their fame to the test.
I feel that I'm famous.
Who will make it to the A-list, the B-list, or no list at all?
We're going to find out just how famous you really are.
The Surreal Life Fame Games. It's a fight to the famousest. Premieres this Sunday at 9, 8 Central, only on VH1.
Your child strapped into that expensive car seat might not be as safe as you think. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
Many cars and light trucks rate up to 5 stars in a government crash testing program that's more stringent than the minimum safety requirements. But
what was really surprising to us is that when we tested infant seats under the same condition, we found some very serious deficiencies.
At Consumer Reports, Don May says 10 of 12 infant seats they tested failed. Meaning
the child in your car in a safety seat is not as well protected as the adult passenger.
Parents must carefully research what infant seats are best and how to properly install them. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Police in Tacoma, Washington have yet to establish a motive for yesterday's shooting at Foss High School. The 18-year-old suspect who allegedly shot and killed a fellow student at close range refuses to give a reason, saying, "I don't want it on the news." Authorities say the suspect did not know his victim, but knew of him. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. 3 to 7, Monday through Friday on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. This is a festive day. Nancy Pelosi officially installed as the first elected woman, female, femme, speaker, girl, speaker of the House, number 3 in line in the succession. So if something happens to the two dicks, guess what? She could be the accidental president, sort of the way Gerald Ford was. I want to remind you that that Richard Clark will be on Scott and Sims in the Morning Retort on the 26th. Of January. I thought it was tomorrow for some reason. I don't know if I was misinformed or I misinformed myself, but it isn't until the 26th of January. So I wanted to clarify that, and I wanted to let you know that Air America's John Elliott will be doing his show live from our studios tomorrow night, and he begins at 7, goes until 10 o'clock, and you will meet him in the latter part of my show, so we'll both meet him for the first time. And tomorrow, of course, is Governor Schwarzenegger's inaugural. He was supposed to have a public event today, This was the one event free and open to the public, and he is unable to appear, I guess, what they're saying are health reasons. So he's only going to the ones that you pay him to go to. And he is proposing insurance for all uninsured California children, which would be about 750,000 uninsured California children, including illegals. So we want to know how that's going to play out and what your thoughts are about that. I think it's fine because, as you know, infection knows no... It does, you know, doesn't looking at, it's not looking at your immigration papers, and you don't want to turn medical personnel into the INS. So it doesn't, you know, if a little kid has a highly infectious disease and you could be infected by it, you want that child to have the care that child needs, and for your own selfish reasons, you really don't want to be the recipient of that, of those cooties. So as a public health matter, I think he's absolutely on the right track, and I want to see universal health care for everybody. I want to see a single-payer system as well. 349-1320 is the number. Or 866-626-1320. They are both toll-free numbers. The more of you who call in, the more vibrant and amazing and rich and compelling the conversation is. And what we are lucky to have on Enid Live, I think, is a daily, very rich conversation that is also illuminating in that it tells us what a lot of different people are thinking. And a lot of you are not progressives who listen. You listen, I don't know why, but you do. You who are conservatives and Republicans and lots of different political and ethnic and every other kind of persuasion, sexual. Every kind of persuasion there is, I think, probably has you have listened to Enid Live at one time or another. And the thing I love about it is that we get all these different points of view. We get takes on things that we would have never thought about ourselves. And it is an immensely delicious conversation as a result. So let me urge you, if you have never called a radio talk show, and most of you never have, 99.9% of you have never called in. You've listened. We know that from the research. Well, we think that anyway. It's kind of a rule of thumb. But less than 1% of you ever pick up the phone to call, even though it doesn't cost anything. And I know public speaking is a big fear for a lot of people, but you're really not speaking publicly, though you are. You're just talking to me. We are just talking. And so you'll get over your initial fear. And sometimes, you know, we take a lot of calls and we move them along quickly. So if it's abrupt, don't take it personally. It's so that we can get as many callers on as possible and so that we can have as rich a conversation as we possibly can. And the other thing you're never going to get from me is a pulled punch. You know, I will probably be eating Alpo out of a trash can in the next 5 or 10 minutes. But I have to tell you, I'm always going to be honest with you. And there are a lot of people who pull their punches. You've got some of the big conservative hosts out there who are happy to take their marching orders from the Republican Party. And they'll tell you whatever the talking point is of the day, not what they really believe. And there are people, allegedly, in the business who really pretend to be one thing and who are another. And you're not going to get that here. So I want you to know that us little rabbits can really have a huge effect on the system. Remember, it's of, by, and for the people, not special interests. So I will be at the Schwarzenegger swearing-in tomorrow, scheduled for about 11 o'clock, I think. It'll be interesting to see whether he's on crutches and or whether he comes in the kind of wheelchair your grandmother uses at Walmart. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to do that. I don't know. Maybe they're going to put him out on a conveyor belt. I don't know. I'm not trying to make fun of his physical injury. Only that, you know, there's such a pomposity. It's almost a caricature of his Terminator-like persona. Anyway, we're also talking about the fact that Nancy Pelosi, number three, we're talking about now, and I have to get your view on this. We have got a story here that I think is really disturbing. It's disturbing enough that Dickey wants to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq, and he's going to do it. He doesn't care. You know, it's like, screw you. He's the president, and this is what he's going to do, and you're not going to tell him what to do. He signed a bill co-sponsored by California's Henry Waxman, that would prevent the government from snooping in your mail. Except that when nobody was looking, he exempted himself and exempted the government and completely nullified it with a signing statement. And so the government can now come in and snoop in your mail. before there had to be a warrant. There had to be some kind of presumably probable cause. But in his statement, Bush said that if he can construe an exception, then they'll open your mail. Well, I'm laughing because who gets any mail? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is this okay with you? Is it okay with you that Arnold wants to insure illegal children who don't have any medical insurance? Is it okay with you that the government snoops in your mail and reads it before you get it? Is this fine? Is it okay with you that the president signs one bill, but under cover of night he exempts the whole, you know, he basically nullifies the bill by exempting himself, the government, and so on from carrying out the provisions of this bill? Is that okay with you? Is that fine? Is that fair? Is that honest government? Is this a man of, you know, aren't we paying lip service still to honesty? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Jesse, hi, you're live with Enid. Jesse?
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Sounds good. I'll try to say it real quick. Hello?
I can barely hear you, but go ahead.
Yeah. They had a sexual man by the professors. He said that was done, that they were...
I don't know. I cannot understand you. You're going to have to call us back because I can't really understand you on your phone. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Matt in El Dorado. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Matt.
Hi. About the health care thing, I have full health care, so it doesn't cost me anything. But what bothers me the most about this is that we aren't even looking at the base problem of this, which is the cost of medical care itself.
Well, that's it. And one of our listeners, Matt, who negotiates these contracts on behalf of unions and so on, has called in to say that nobody's really investigating why the cost is as high as it is.
That's exactly my point. And I've been to a doctor recently, you know, surgeons and stuff, and the health care you get in this country is so abysmal that you feel like just go to Thailand, even if you have to pay for it. I mean, they do not give good health care in this country.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you making such a sweeping? I know that our life expectancy is not as high as Canada, France, England, and that our health care costs are 2 to 3 times per person what those costs are in those countries. But why do you think you're not going to get good health care?
Okay, I'll give you the exact thing. It was an MRI of my shoulder.
Well, honey, we don't want an organ recital, Matt. But you don't think the doctor is going to do a good job for you?
Well, he didn't. That's my point. I went to an emergency room 2 years ago. They misdiagnosed it, and it was $6,000 that everybody paid for but me. Well, I may pay my little part, I guess, but
yeah.
I didn't have to pay it. $6,000, misdiagnosed it. It was just a disaster, and it was like an hour. You know, you don't think there's a problem there?
Well, it happens that doctors do misdiagnose.
$6,000,
yeah.
For what? There was nothing there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the circumstances, and I don't know your bill. But I think it's a legitimate question, and the question is, why is healthcare so high? Why is life expectancy so low? And how can we fix that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jared in Greenwood. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jared.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm an insurance agent, and I have been for 21 years, and I make a fair amount of money on health insurance commissions. But I can tell you right now that I would give it all up tomorrow if I could see a single-payer system that would cover everybody, regardless of who the heck they are, because the system, the way it works right now, is so divisive and so exclusive of people who really need the care that it hurts the general public entirely.
What do you see from your vantage point? I have to appreciate your candor. You've made a good living on the premiums here. But tell me what you see and why you've come to this conclusion.
Well, what I come to the conclusion from is that I see people that are essentially healthy that are denied coverage or are charged so much extra because of what I see as relatively inconsequential problems. You know,
give us an example, because we talked about jock itch. Jock itch. A college student had jock itch successfully treated by cream, and he was denied coverage by an insurer. I think it was Blue Cross.
Yeah, exactly. I had a 24-year-old, healthy, strong guy, has need for asthma medication every now and then. He gets pushed into the major risk medical insurance program because he had one asthma attack about 4 years ago that he was hospitalized for. He's never had one since. I've seen people who have reversed their health conditions. For instance, like they've lost a bunch of weight, they began exercising, changed their lifestyle, and still they get excluded from the mainstream, you know, health insurance system that on their own. You had a guy call earlier that said that he has starting up in his own IT, you know, business. Because he and doesn't have his own health insurance.
He doesn't have it, and he's worried that if he has any employees, the governor's going to stick him with health care for them.
Yeah, he's going to get popped for it. And, as an insurance agent, I'm a self-employed guy. I pay for my own insurance. I would never join a group health insurance plan if my life depended on
Why?
It.
Why?
Because I have an independently paid-for plan that they can't kick me out of right now because I pay the premiums. And what's nice about that is that I can go to a doctor and have health concerns that have risen since I bought this coverage 16 years ago, that if I tried to apply again, even though I am essentially healthy, you can talk to my doctor anytime you want to. He thinks I'm in great health, but they would exclude me because of my past history.
Why? What was your past history? You've been healthy all these years, and your doctor says you're healthy. I've heard that if you ever say, if let's say you're a teenager or in your 20s or something, and you took antidepressants to get you through those teen years or whatever, that you could get excluded later on.
Absolutely.
Is that true? Anybody who's taken antidepressants could get excluded?
Antidepressants. I take medication for gout. I had an inherited condition that I eventually developed varicose veins in one of my legs that I had ablation surgery done on. And it is, you know, one of those things where, you know, I'm extremely healthy. I'm going to live to be quite old, barring an accident. And, you know, they wouldn't take me. They would say no. You know, the only way I could get a plan is if I joined a group, if I didn't have insurance, and then if I ever left the group, left my employer, after 18 months in COBRA, I'd be excluded. Or I'd have to go into the major risk medical plan that's available to people.
Yes, and all you get, and you're paying enormous premiums for it, and they cap your benefits at $75,000 a year. So if you're a major risk, you know, if you go in and get a box of Kleenex at the hospital, that's $75,000 right there.
And God forbid you have a heart attack or something like that, because then you're bankrupt. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I look at it from an overall public social health type of situation, and I say, you know what, enough is enough. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie that it would cost everybody more if everybody had insurance. No, it would cost everybody less.
A lot less, but you deal with the insurance companies. Believe me, they're not going to go down. They're not going gentle into that good night.
It's about profit. It's about making money. And, you know, the whole thing with the drug Medicare situation, that gap plan that was signed by the president, I have looked at that. I have agonized over that with clients who are retired. I've been doing this long enough that I have a number of clients who are retired who came to me and said, do I buy this Medigap coverage that, you know, covers my drugs and all this other kind of stuff? And I say, well, the only problem is when you need it, it'll fall out. Forget it. You know, if you give money to the insurance companies, they're going to beat you at that game 100% of the time. I've never seen a winner in it. You know, the only thing you can do is buy a big fat life policy and then die. You know? That's all there is to it.
And you won't be around to be the happy beneficiary either of that policy.
No, you won't get the life insurance policy because you got health problems. So forget it.
Well, you know, I've always thought that insurance was, I'm not saying about health care, but a lot of insurance is an illusion. You know, it's that subway strap you're hanging on to that in reality is attached to nothing. You know, you think you've got insurance, and then when things happen, it's really, you know, you're really struggling out there on your own, and it's not what it appears to be. And but, Jared, I really appreciate your candor, and I really appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
And thank you, and thank you for calling us today. 349-1320, what do you think about what Jared had to say? He's been selling insurance. He's been making a wonderful living at this for 15 years, and he'd give it all up tomorrow. There could be a single-payer universal health care system because he has seen what goes on behind the scenes. Sandra in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Hey, you know, the only health care I have is to pray not to get sick. You know what I mean? I work pretty much full-time. I go to school full-time. But Lord help me if I ever should get ill. It's not a, you know what I mean? And when I listen to people talk about the various surgeries they've had, this, that, another, it's like a joke. I'm just lucky that I'm relatively healthy. But it'll come a time when I'm not, and then what? You just die in the street in this country. You know what I mean?
Like a dog.
Yeah, and
but here's the, let me say something to you, Sandra, because I think we've all been there. I remember there was a time in my life where it was either I had to choose between being able to swim every day or pay for health care coverage, and I chose the swimming because I thought it would keep me healthy and that I'd only need the health care if I got sick, so I was going to try and keep as healthy as possible. So what I've been reading a lot lately about doctors saying, and many doctors who call this show, call Enid Live, they say that 95% of what they see are self induced illnesses. In other words, people are overweight, people aren't taking care of themselves, they smoke, they drink too much, there are substance abuse issues, you know, on and on and on. I'm saying to you that if you don't have health care coverage and you're praying to stay well, do everything you can to do that, and you probably will.
Well, no, what I was going to add is that, you know, I kind of try to keep myself relatively healthy, and all these obscure disease people seem to have, a lot of it seems to be stuff that they really look hard to find, I have to say. I mean, you know, it just doesn't seem to be, if people aren't really looking inward to take care of themselves, they're relying on this sort of medicine, which makes a lot of people sick in the end. Anyway.
I think that, well, I'm glad you brought that up. So everybody thinks they can abuse themselves, and then there's a pill they can take to make it all better.
Yeah, but with that said, that doesn't relieve them of the responsibility that it's a really a moral issue that we live in this country, and you can't see a doctor. You know what I mean? I think there's something really wrong with that, and I will always fight against it. But can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
I think you're sounding more and more like you'd be willing to have Bush impeached.
I'm so mad at this troop surge. I'm just so mad at this that I think that, you know, if they can, you know, they need to get rid of him somehow. They just got to get him out of there. He is delusional. I was thinking today, what if you find out that someone's really like a madman? How do you get him out?
I think he's despicable, and you said some really good things about how he's never lived up to any potential. He's a parasite, and I agree. Anyway, have a good evening.
Thank you, Sandra. I never want to mince her words. You know what? I want to say something about keeping healthy. Everybody, I think it's more within our province, and I don't mean just the usual things that people tell you to do, which is, you know, exercise, you know, do everything in moderation, don't you know, watch your weight, all that other stuff. I really think there's a sort of psychological thing that you can do. I've sort of seen it happen. Sometimes, you know, have you ever had this happen when you're on the cusp of getting a cold and you kind of get really quiet and you can reverse it? Sometimes you can reverse it. You know, you get quiet, you start drinking a lot of fluids, you lay down, you get some sleep, and you can kind of turn it around. I think in your head you can do a lot more than I think we think you can. And this business is correlation in the New York Times today between stress and accidents. You know, you're not, when you're stressed, you're not paying as much attention. You're not focused as much. Things can happen. You're not, you know, and you pay the price with your health. So I think all of this sort of as a piece fits in together. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Slow-moving traffic, southbound 99 right past Fruit Ridge Road. Southbound Cap City Freeway at P Street, a three-car crash is there. Otherwise, smooth traffic, I suppose, though doing 5 to 10 miles per hour just due to congestion. 50 going over top of the mountain as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sacramento home.
at Cache Creek Casino Resort. Win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Thursday edition, pre-inaugural edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. We're talking about health care issues, and I want to expand the conversation. And here we have a medical mystery surrounding student infections, which deepens. There are 20,000 students in Rhode Island have been kept home after an illness report. San Quentin is locked down. 500 inmates there have some kind of a virus. Do you think we're under siege? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too many thrillers. Just asking the question, that's all. We're talking about lots of ethical issues. We're talking about health care issues. In a case fraught with ethical questions, the parents of a severely mentally and physically disabled child have stunted her growth to keep their little pillow angel a manageable and more portable size. She's a bedridden 9-year-old girl. She's had her uterus and breast tissue removed at a Seattle hospital and received large doses of hormones to halt her growth. She is now 4'5". Her parents say she would otherwise probably reach a normal 5'6". Some ethicists question the parents' claim that the drastic treatment will benefit their daughter and allow them to continue caring for her at home. The case has captured attention nationwide and abroad. I mean, this is horrible. She's apparently very, very disabled. She weighs about 65 pounds. She's about 13 inches shorter and 50 pounds lighter than she would be as an adult. And they want to keep her manageable so that they can keep her portable. Well, why don't they just cut off her arms and legs and be done with it? 349-1320. And in a related but unrelated story, let me give you this. I think we have gone crazy. Remember the 4-year-old who was charged with sexual assault? Well, here's a 12-year-old charged with wetting her pants. She is a special education student. She was charged with disorderly conduct after authorities said she deliberately wet her pants at school. The girl's mother said she urinated only because the principals frightened her. The school said that they were at their wits' end with her and that they believed that her actions were deliberate. But, you know, guess what? Who's not the special education student? The adults here are supposed to have some brains, and even if a kid is trying to manipulate the system, here is a special education student, 12 years old. She wet her pants, and they're booking her for disorderly conduct, and the police said that she could probably avoid a fine if they agreed to have the girl do community service. Would you like to comment on these? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? Aaron in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Aaron.
Hi there, Enid. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. That 12-year-old thing is amazing. I have a story from my own history about like COBRA and stuff.
Okay.
On how messed up the system was. I had cancer at Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
And I eventually, because of the side effects of the chemo and everything, I had to leave my job. And my wife had insurance through her job. About a week after I was diagnosed, she told her boss that, hey, you know, if I seem distracted or anything, it's because my husband just got diagnosed with cancer, you know, I'm maintaining. So a week later, she was fired.
A week later, she was fired?
Yeah, it just wasn't working out, you know, right to work state and all that.
Is it because it was going to cost the insurance company some money, you think, or the business?
I don't know. We've always tried to figure out exactly why that happened. We kind of think that her boss was a little nutty. But anyway, you know, this was all like 5 years ago. So then here we are. I can't work because I'm sick. She's unemployed, and we have to pay for COBRA because I have cancer.
Right.
And at that point, our single biggest expense, and I don't remember exactly how much it was, but our single biggest expense was trying to pay that COBRA bill every month. And it was everything we could do to pay rent, insurance, and utilities.
How much was the COBRA for the two of you?
I'm trying to remember. I remember it being a lot.
Okay.
It was somewhere around $500 or $600, I think.
Okay.
It was as much as our rent, I think. It was everything we could do to pay it. And so we kept, you know, there's a grace period about 10 days from the beginning of the month where you can pay it. And, you know, when you're on COBRA, you have to make the checks payable to whoever's administrating your health care plan, which is usually the person that, you know, you lost your job with, that you used to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go in there, and it was usually on the last day because we were begging for money from our family to pay this thing. And so we go in there on the 10th day, and after 3 or 4 months, my wife went in there with a money order because they wouldn't accept a check, but with a money order for the amount towards the close of business because, of course, we didn't have a car, so we're taking the bus. It took forever to run around and do this thing. And on the 10th day of the grace period, we walk in there, and the office manager goes, oh, well, we changed the name of the company. Didn't we tell you? Oh, your money order's made out to the wrong people? You're going to have to change that. What? We just closed on the 10th day of your grace period? I guess you don't have insurance anymore.
Oh, no. What did you do?
Well, then I ended up going on the county system, which that's a joke, because the way they figure out, because my wife did get another job, but she was a temp, so there's no health insurance.
How did it finally resolve itself?
I got on, after a long time, I got on federal disability, so then Medicare was covering it. But even before I qualified for that, because there's a long waiting period for that, I had a bone marrow transplant, and the way I got covered was that the wonderful, angelic people at UC Davis Medical Center just jumped through hoops to find a way to pay for my bone marrow transplant, and they eventually, from what I understand, I wasn't involved at all, the doctor kind of said, we're going to find a way to get it to work, okay? And I think that they found a way to shift the cost of my bone marrow transplant into the educational budget because they were...
Well, how is your health? Give us the bottom line. How is your health?
Oh, I'm doing fine now. It's been... This summer will be 4 years, no detectable.
That is the best news of all. And I have to tell you that every year we raise a lot of money for UC Davis, the Children's Hospital.
Oh yeah.
And we just suspend all the programming. We have six radio stations here at Entercom, and we suspend all the radio programming. We do nothing but raise money for UC Davis, the Children's Hospital, but it is part of that system. So, gosh, that's great that they stepped in.
And
I've got to tell you, I think the upside for you, it had to have been really distressing, and it couldn't have helped your mental health situation very much during the time, but it looks like you really, you probably developed a whole set of muscles for having to endure all of that will serve you well the rest of your, we hope, long life.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. I'm glad that you called in, Aaron. I'm glad that you're really doing well. Thanks. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Cheryl in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good.
I'd just like to say I love what you do.
Thank you.
And my comment or question is the family that you were talking about that gave growth hormones to their 9-year-old girl so she wouldn't grow. My question is, I wonder if they call themselves Christians.
I have no clue, but is this amazing? Not only did they give her hormones so that she would not grow, they have lopped off body parts. They have had her uterus and breast tissue removed so that she could be, so that she, they could carry her around and she could stay more at home. And they're calling her their little pillow angel.
Well,
and they're going to keep her, small so they can always take care of her. I mean, they think that there was severe brain damage when she was born. But the ethics of this.
It's completely wrong.
I think it's horrible.
If they love her the way she is, then they should leave her the way she's supposed to be.
Okay, I agree with you, but, you know, if you're already going to start taking off body parts, you know, what about the hands and the legs? What's left?
it's all wrong.
It's terrible. What about citing a 12-year-old for wetting her pants? Disorderly conduct. She's a special education student.
I beg your pardon?
What about citing this 12-year-old special education student for wetting her pants at school? Deliberately wetting her pants, the girl's mother said that she did so only because the principal frightened her, and the school said they were at their wit's end with this difficult student, and the police say that she can work off the fine by doing community service. I mean, have we gone crazy or what? Who are the adults here?
I was listening to your show, and I think it was your show the other day, and a caller called in, and they were talking about the moral higher ground. And I think that everybody needs to stop and look at what they believe is right and wrong and look at themselves before they start pointing fingers and try to
see what's hallmark,
wrong in their lives.
The hallmark of people who don't want to look at themselves is to point fingers at everybody else. The people,
everybody wants to blame someone else for their faults.
Yeah. I think...
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Cheryl, I just wanted to thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. President Bush, you saw him at the Gerald Ford funeral the next day. He's at the Mayo Clinic where you get a bacon lettuce and mayo sandwich. Oh, never mind. And he had his hip replaced, another hip surgery. This is a guy who jumps out of airplanes, but I guess he must have been in, presumably if you have a hip replacement, you're in some pain. It was hours after attending Gerald Ford's funeral. Poppy underwent surgery to replace his right hip. The surgery was completed by 7 a.m. Wednesday morning. It was a success, said the Mayo Clinic. He's 82. Poppy's 82. He traveled to the clinic late Tuesday after attending the Washington funeral of President Ford. He had his left hip replaced at the Mayo Clinic in 2000. His wife, Barbara, also had hip replacement surgery there in 1997. And I guess none of this has kept him from jumping out of airplanes. Most recently, 2 years ago, to celebrate his 80th birthday. So he's a very hip guy. And Judge Rehnquist. Remember during the impeachment when Judge Rehnquist decided, because there's no really mandated uniform for a chief justice, Judge Rehnquist had judicial robes and he put stripes on them because he's the chief justice of the Supreme Court. You know, like a bad Gilbert and Sullivan soap opera, you know, operetta. Well, it turns out he had a big painkiller, Jones, and that when he was withdrawing, he had symptoms of withdrawal from these massive amounts of prescription painkillers that he was taking, that he was having hallucinations, he's a little delusional, he thought the CIA was out to get him. I mean, he was out of his mind. 3 4 maybe even during the impeachment. 3 4 9 13 20 8 6 6 6 20 6 13 20 Eddie in Elk Grove, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Enid. First, I want to comment on that last caller who gratuitously brought up the idea, I wonder if these people are Christians who are mutilating their daughter to keep her smaller. There's no place, there's no call for that. We don't need to just bang on a religion just because we're progressives. We think we're better than that. That was rude and uncalled for.
Are you a Christian, and do you feel insulted by that?
Yes, I am, and yes, I do feel somewhat insulted. And I'm a progressive Christian. I have to fight bad enough with all the other progressives to teach them that it's okay to have faith, you can still be a progressive, and come up against mindsets like that, it's backward thinking.
Okay.
And the other thing is, when it comes to...
Well, I think she said that, I'll play devil's advocate for a moment. We're not trying to malign anybody's religion. But I think she said that because a lot of people who posture the most in terms of their religion wind up to be the biggest liars, thieves, hypocrites. So I think that's what she meant.
I do not argue that one iota. However, there was no context for that in this particular discussion. To bring it up like that gratuitously is like to bring up race whenever it doesn't matter.
Okay. Point well taken.
Now, as far as special education goes, I have, although there are a few angels out there, I have, because I have a special education daughter, run into problems in the Sac City School District and Elk Grove School District. Essentially, our schools do not know how to do special education.
They hardly know how to do education. Believe me, I love teachers and I love schools, and I'm going to move into that topic as we continue. But yes, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. Education itself is suffering.
So you're saying that you're finding difficult issues with special education?
It's adversarial. The administrations, generally speaking, administrations and most of the mainstream teachers are adversarial to special education needs, and even some special education teachers are, because it's a very special discipline. You have a very different way of dealing with each child. There's not just like you can teach all blind kids the same way, but you can't teach all special education kids the same way. Each one has different ways of learning, and the teachers have the difficulty, you know, trying to adapt to that, and it's frustrating. And teachers and administrators especially become adversarial. They don't know how to deal with these people who process things differently, and so they behave differently. If you don't fall into that great bell curve of 80%, then you get kicked to the side.
Wow. So you're finding difficulty with your... with the way your child is being handled. You don't feel like, is it a girl or a boy?
It's a girl.
You don't feel like she's getting... Well, I'm glad you've called in with that, and it will certainly spark a discussion, Eddie, and let's see what happens. Let's see how people respond to that. And I think your first criticism was well taken, so thanks for that. Appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have slow-moving traffic southbound 99 Marconi Avenue at Mission Avenue. We have a two-hour car crash. Northbound Watt Avenue at American River Bridge and northbound I-5 just south of Twin Cities Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm Dale Shornack. Tonight,
the Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world.
This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes.
It really is the internet consumer bill of rights.
Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially.
The world has turned against this.
If you're on personal internet, that is you and me.
You and me is that
tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition of Enid Live, our dirty little secret is about trying to send 20,000 more people. It's not such a dirty little secret. The dirty little secret was in the middle of the night when Dickey signs a signing statement that says that he's exempted from this wonderful good government legislation that Henry Waxman helps to co-sponsor that says the government is not allowed to open up your mail without a warrant. And then Dickey in the middle of the night exempts himself and the government with a signing statement, one of hundreds. hundreds that he has done because he's duplicitous. This is the worst administration. This is absolutely the most dishonest, the worst administration. We've been talking about health care. We've been talking about a girl who's 12 years old charged with wetting her pants. She's a special education student. Disorderly conduct. Well, the police told her family that she could work off the fine by doing community service. I mean, can you believe that? And here is, and the police said that the school officials were, quote, at wit's end. Who's the adult here in this in this confrontation? And then you have surgery to stunt a little girl's growth. She is 9 years old, and she is quite severely retarded. And her parents have decided that their pillow angel, that to keep her at home, she has to be portable. And she's now 4'5", and otherwise she'd grow to be 5'6". So they've removed her breast tissue, they removed her uterus, and they're giving her hormones to keep her short and little. Does anybody want to comment on that? Is there some point there that I'm missing? 349-1320, John and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about that 9-year-old girl. That got me real upset. I can't understand how adults are treating her like this.
Well, I can't understand how the doctors are operating on her. I mean, well, I don't know why they're doing it.
It's incredible. I don't understand it. These are teachers. This child's in special ed. Apparently she has a disabled situation, and they're doing this to her.
I don't know what her parents are. How do you know they're teachers?
Well, the teachers that said that she urinated her pants.
That's a 12-year-old. That's a different story. The 12-year-old. Are you talking about the 12-year-old who peed in her pants, her wetter pants?
Yeah, that one. That's the one.
And she's a special ed student. I don't know if she's retarded or not, but she's a special ed student.
Yeah. You know, there's another thing about a lot of these people calling in and being upset about, like the last gentleman from Al Grove about Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person who like analyzes things a lot, and if you look at the planet, 55 million people were killed in 1939 and 45, 38 million were killed in 1958 and 62, and these are wars, World War II. China had a war, and then it goes on and on. And if there's a God, which I don't believe there is, who would allow these people to die by the millions? People need to get over the fact that we evolved. We're just basically primates. I mean, I was raised a Catholic. Catholic Church has abused sexually boys over the last, 10, 15 years, and yet they turn around and they condemn other people for being homosexuals and stuff like that.
You know, John,
eyes and realize what's going on.
I think you make an excellent point, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have lows tonight right around 37. My friend in Reno, I just talked to him, and it's snowing over there. I wish some of that would come our way. However, we did have sprinkles today and none in the next couple of days. We have, it looks like Schwartzy's in Placerville. There's a dog in the roadway. Missouri Flat Road and Lifeway. It's very interesting.
What kind of a dog? Is it a standard poodle? Is it a Rottweiler? Is it a German Shepherd? What is it?
You know what? I don't mean to
Is it got crutches? Does it have orange makeup on?
Well, yes. Actually, all in all, it's a cross between a poodle and a poor little Rottweiler. I feel bad for both of them. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
President Bush says he'll announce his new Iraq strategy sometime next week. Will it include more troops?
One thing is for certain, I will want to make sure that the mission
is clear and specific and can be accomplished.
Today, a scheduled one-hour video conference with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki ran nearly twice as long. The White House says they talked about the importance of having a sufficient force in Baghdad. The U.S. military leadership will be changing. CBS News has learned that General George Casey, the top American commander in Iraq, will be replaced, along with his boss, General John Abizaid, the head of Central Command.
Clearly, there's dissatisfaction in the administration, but in the White House, with the conduct of the war, including with the conduct by the military in Iraq.
Dan Garay of the Lexington Institute. General Casey's replacement will be Lieutenant General David Petraeus, who's considered an expert in counterinsurgency techniques. On Capitol Hill today, the House was called to order for the first time by its first female speaker, Nancy Pelosi.
It is a moment for which we have waited over 200 years.
She's pledging partnership, not partisanship, but also pledges to enact key elements of the Democratic agenda in the first 100 hours the House is in session. And CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports partisanship has already flared in debate over ethics legislation.
The proposals seek to end the far too cozy connection between lobbyists and members of Congress. It would strengthen the ban on gifts, end the free travel underwritten by lobbyists and all that travel on corporate jets. It also has new disclosure rules designed to stop members from secretly slipping special interest measures into bills without saying who is asking for them or why.
A CBS News poll finds Americans cautiously optimistic.
49% of Americans expect that this Congress will accomplish more than Congress usually does in a two-year period, but some people see problems ahead. A third thinks this Congress will accomplish less than usual.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit. Two people are dead. Several homes in Iberia Parish, Louisiana, are demolished after a storm apparently spawned tornadoes. Earlier, three children were reported missing, but authorities now say everyone's accounted for. In the snowbound plains, helicopters are carrying feed to stranded, starving cattle, and many humans are in dire straits, too. Listen to this Colorado rancher.
They were talking about, I think they said like 80,000 people being out of power. For people that live in the city, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but as sparsely populated it is out here, I mean, think how many square miles it takes to get 80,000 people. I mean, it's a humongous area.
No estimate on when all the power will be restored. The Dow gained 6 points, closing at 12,480 today. The Nasdaq jumped 30 points to 2453. This is CBS News.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth.
Jerry.
And Samantha.
We can't get to the phone right now because
I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy.
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and
Sammy.
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and
Sammy.
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please.
A fresh warning for dieters. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Did you fall for this one?
Eat right, exercise,
and take one a day Weight Smart, a complete multivitamin with EGCG to enhance metabolism.
The FTC says the claims of maker Bayer are not true. It's also reached settlements with the makers of Trim Spa, Cortislim, and Zenadrine EFX for similar exaggerated claims.
Paying for fad science and miracle ingredients is a good way to lose nothing but your cash.
FTC Chairwoman Deborah Platt-Majoris says losing weight requires effort, more effort than just taking these pills. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
It took five undercover officers and 10 hidden cameras, but police in Cary, North Carolina, say they found out who's been stealing from St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church. Sunday morning, they caught a 75-year-old usher pocketing cash from the collection plate. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
local and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
After 6 o'clock, welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation a variety of ways. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. Hard to do, though, if you're in your car. Well, you can get a BlackBerry. Or you can listen on the net, on the web, 1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Or you can call, and it doesn't cost you a penny to do it. And you know, your homework assignment, which is still to tell 3, 4 people, 5 people, and as many people as you want every single day that we are here. Because every single day we are gathering a larger and larger audience, a bigger and bigger conversation, more of you calling in, when typically a lot of talk radio listeners love to listen to the conversation, they love to listen to the back and forth, but they are a little bit reticent, interestingly enough, to call in and express themselves. And this is a place where you can do it. This is the canvas where we really have an ongoing conversation 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, on a whole host of issues that I don't think a lot of people, you know, some, yes, that are, we do a lot of news talk, things that are in the news and so on, but a lot of things that we do you probably aren't going to discuss it in a lot of other places. By the way, this has been a very festive day. Nancy Pelosi, the first elected woman Speaker of the House, number 3, should Dick and Dickie get impeached or both slide away on a banana peel or, who knows, investigated out of their jobs or something like that? She could be an accidental president, couldn't she? But in any event, she's scheduled to be at Arnold Schwarzenegger's events tomorrow. Now, maybe the ball tomorrow night, because you've got this whole lineup of people like Willie Brown and Gray Davis and all. You know, I don't know if they're going to be there at the actual swearing in, but I will find that out for you, because your goddess is credentialed to cover the swearing in tomorrow, which is scheduled to begin at about 11 o'clock. The pre-show is at something like 10:30 at the Memorial Auditorium downtown. So I'll be bringing you, all kinds of information and every little snarky and deliciously wicked observation I can, or just really just tell you what went on, because I think it'll be a really interesting show. They're expecting 300 media at least, and the last time I went to something like this, which was the it wasn't anything like this, but it was the debate between Arnold and Phil at Sac State, and there was a big media presence. Of course, we were herded into a separate room, so that may be the case here, where they've got feeds set up and they've got all kinds of, you know, a big screen so that you're not right in the room, which would be too bad if that's what happens. But I don't know how they're going to do it. But in any event, they had media from all over the world. They had a big Japanese presence, I think, European presence, because Arnold is beloved in these countries, rather like Jerry Lewis is beloved in France. What we have been talking about, if you are just joining us, is that Arnold has canceled his only public event today because of health issues, or he was too tired, or his leg had to be elevated, or his makeup was too orange or something, but it had to do probably with the leg that he doesn't now have to stand on. But he's going to try and make it to all the events that you had to pay for, the pay-to-play guy. I'm sure there's a metaphor in all that, but I guess I won't be too snarky and pump it further. In any event, he is going to be, the Los Angeles Times is reporting, he is going to be announcing on Monday a proposal that all California children, and there are about 750,000 of them, be insured. They are presently uninsured. All California uninsured children, I should say. Well, he wants them to be insured, even illegals. So we've been talking about that. We've also been talking about a couple of healthcare stories in which there's a little girl who is 9 years old. Her growth has been, She's severely retarded. Her parents want to keep her at home, and to do that, they got to keep her shorter and more portable. So they've been giving her hormones so she won't grow. She's now 4'5" rather than the 5'6" she might be. And they have just removed her uterus and breast tissue. I didn't know they weighed that much to keep her manageable in terms of being able to haul her around. I guess they never heard of things with wheels on them. I guess they never heard of a wheelbarrow or something like that. You know, they have medical versions of this. This is horrible. So we have been discussing, and also the 12-year-old who was hauled off to the pokey practically. She's a special education student because she wet her pants. And her mother says it was because she's 12, because the principal scared her, and that's what she did. And the school says they're at their wits' end with her. And the police say that she can avoid the fine by doing community service. But if you're a special ed kid who acts out, I don't know what kind of community service you're going to be doing that's going to be really useful, but what do I know? So this is under health care. Judge Rehnquist, we've been discussing also, had hallucinations beyond the usual ones that chief justices have, apparently, as he was trying to withdraw from heavy-duty painkillers. He thought the CIA was after him. I think he was hallucinating during the impeachment hearings, too, because he had those fancy robes made up with stripes. There are no vestments for chief justices of the Supreme Court, but he decided to give himself some stripes. Remember that? Kind of like he was in a bad Gilbert and Sullivan operetta. It turns out that Dickie, when we weren't looking, what did Dickie do? Dickie signs a statement, signs a bill co-sponsored, or a law co-sponsored by Henry Waxman, good government kind of a law where the government's not allowed to open your mail and snoop without a warrant. Well, he signs it with a big flourish, and then when nobody's looking and they're out for the holiday, he unsigns it by doing a signing statement, exempting himself and the government from the very provisions that he has signed. Are you furious about it? Because guess what? The government can read your mail. A CBS News poll that I haven't had a chance to share with you. Americans are apparently upbeat about the next 2 years with the new democratically controlled Congress taking office. Two-thirds of Americans say they feel optimistic about the next 2 years. And in addition, nearly half expect that the Congress will accomplish more than Congress usually does in a two-year period, particularly in comparison to this last Congress, which didn't do anything much. Let me see if there's some more information that you should have. 45% of us want the Congress to concentrate on the war in Iraq. Only 7% economy and jobs, 7% health care, and 6% immigration. So by far, the mandate was this election was about the war in Iraq, to which Dickie is, you know, this little girl. I won't make the analogy again, but Dickie has said screw you, essentially. The mandate, and this is why we have a democratically controlled Congress, and I hope Tim Johnson gets better quick, and a democratically continue to have a democratically controlled Senate, because it's the war in Iraq. And so what does Dickie say? Screw you. We're sending 20,000 more people in. Oh, we'll change generals. It'll all be better. 20,000 more people. Hey, I don't have to go. What do I care? On Iraq, expect Democrats in the Congress to increase the troops. I guess 12% of us expect that. Decrease the troops, 35% of us. Remove all the troops, 36%. Of us keep the same number of troops, 8%. Do Democrats have a clear plan for Iraq? 82% of us think no. Does the president have a clear plan for Iraq? 76% think no. Nobody has a clear plan for Iraq. Will President Bush and the Democrats work together on Iraq? Well, most people don't think so. 51% think no. Only 41% think yes. Saddam Hussein's execution, will it affect attacks against U.S. troops? Will it increase the attacks? 40% say yes. Will it decrease the attacks? 5% say yes. Will it stay the same? 50% think nothing is going to change. How will Saddam's execution affect the stability of Iraq? 59% think it's not going to make any difference whatsoever. Expect the minimum wage? 68% of us think it's going to go up. Expect immigration reform to pass, it's evenly divided at 42%. Expect taxes to stay the same, 48%, to go up 39%, to go down 8%. Bush's job approval ratings, they're down from December, 1 point. In December, 31% approval ratings, now 30%. going down faster than Bob Dole without his Viagra. His disapproval ratings, however, remain stable at 63%. 30% is the lowest approval rating measured for this president in CBS News polls. This president is being hurt by public dismay over the war in Iraq. President Bush's approval rating is lower than that of Bill Clinton's in January 1995, when the Republicans took control of Congress, one of Clinton's low points. Back then, 42% of Americans approved of the job Clinton was doing as president. Presidential job approval rating. Oh, this is in 1995. Well, his father was down to 30% also. Poppy was at 30%. He has a new hip, as we discussed. Bush's job handling in Iraq. The disapproval is 72%. He's up about 3 points. It was 75% in December. So why he's up about 3 points now, I don't know. And he's up a little bit in the approval. If Republicans, 47% approved of his handling of Iraq in December, but now 51% approve. Isn't that amazing? Republicans are in need of some sort of a growth hormone in their brains, if this is how they feel. President Ford's job approval ratings, well, now it's 69%, but not when he was president, I don't think, at least not at the end. Bush is announcing his exit strategy from reality. This is the Borowitz Report, satire. Plans complete withdrawal from his senses by the year's end. President George W. Bush has been working hard around the clock to put the finishing touches on a speech to the American people in which he will announce a comprehensive exit strategy from reality, White House aides confirmed today. When reports emerged that the president was considering deploying an additional surge of troops in Iraq against the advice of military experts and overwhelming public sentiment, many in Washington suspected that the move was part of a larger plan to withdraw from reality entirely. But not until spokesperson Tony Snow addressed reporters today did the White House officially confirm that the president was about to announce an exit strategy from the land of rational thought. The president never intended to occupy the world of reality indefinitely, Mr. Snow told reporters. He is planning a new way forward, and that way forward is a one-way ticket to fantasy land. Moments after Mr. Snow announced Mr. Bush's plan to unveil an exit strategy from reality, members of the press corps started peppering him with questions about a deadline by which the president will have totally taken leave of his senses. The White House spokesperson said that the president refused to set a formal timetable for his withdrawal from reality, but added that it was realistic to assume that Mr. Bush's exit from the real world would be complete by year's end. It helps that he's 90% of the way there already. The Borowitz Report, satire. Well, you know, it was reported that Chief Justice Rehnquist was delusional, trying to get off prescription painkillers. He's delusional. And we don't have any proof that Dickie isn't delusional. What do we do about it? Supposing he's even more delusional than Rehnquist is. What do we do about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And among the delusional would have to be O.J. Simpson, who continues to look for the killer of his wife on golf courses everywhere. And guess what? That book that Judith Regan did could be coming back. Maybe by next Christmas. And where would it be coming back? Well, apparently a number of European publishers have expressed interest. So they want to publish that book, and then you'll see versions of it online or here or there. And so it's not dead until it's dead. And meanwhile, a federal judge temporarily froze movement of O.J. Simpson's assets, in case he has any left, until he decides the fate of a bid by murder victim Ron Goldman's family to get the money that O.J. was paid for his failed If I Did It book and TV deal. So I hope that the Goldmans and all the victims are able to get a little bit something out of it. Here's what we know. We know that if you are a talk radio listener, that you love words and you love the language and you love libraries and you love books. And I love this story and I wanted to share it with you because I thought we could discuss it today. We all know that everything's getting dumbed down. We all know. Well, all right, let me just, I was reading a story about this bookstore. We've had Elaine Petrocelli on, you know, from Book Passage in Corte Madera, one of the few independent bookstores. There are fewer and fewer of them remaining. And I don't know, we have, Beer's Books here in Sacramento. I'm sure I'm getting the name wrong. But we don't have too many independent bookstores. anymore, and even Tower, which did start here, and it certainly was a chain, but we had a lot of affection for it because its home office was here. They're gone, of course. So what you have are the big chains. And you know what? They're on a need-to-order basis, a just-in-time kind of ordering system. You come in with a book that isn't one of the, you know, major blockbuster bestseller hits, and they never have it in stock. They've got to order it for you, and maybe they'll get it, and maybe they won't. And they always say they'll get it, but you got to wait for it. And these eccentric bookstores, you could always find the stuff that you wanted. And here was a bookstore in Princeton, and so people who were associated with the university and students and townspeople would come to this bookstore, which thrived for a couple of decades, 26 years anyway, quarter of a century. But the owner of the bookstore, a man named Logan Fox, says he can't quite pinpoint the moment when movies and television shows replaced books as the cultural topics people like to talk about over dinner, at cocktail parties, at work. He does know that at his bookstore, which was called Micawber Books, his independent bookstore, it's going to close in March. And his own employees, he noticed, prefer to come in every morning and gossip about Survivor or that fashion reality show whose title he can't quite place. It kills me, he said, over coffee one day, shaking his head. The amount of time spent discussing culturally iconic shows has superseded anything in the way of books that I can detect. Discussing books is very much one-on-one. It just hurts me, he said. He's bracing himself for an emotionally wrenching few months. He announced that he would close the bookstore after years of fighting not only the tyranny of other media, but also the steady encroachment of the big box retail competitors and the internet. Independent bookstores, of course, have been under siege for nearly two decades by the mega chains and the web retailers and have been steadily dropping away one by one. Now, though, the battle is reaching some of the last holdouts. He said that his first chain competitor arrived in the mid-1990s, and as a result, his sales dropped about 25%, nearly putting him out of business. And soon after, Barnes & Noble and Borders came to town, and then there was Amazon.com. But beyond these factors, he said, he blames a change in American culture, in the quickening pace of people's lives, in the shrinking willingness to linger. He says during the 1980s, in the store's early days, customers would come in, and I think we've all had this experience growing up when we were in college, later on, of spending a good number of hours at the bookstore. Coming in, he said, and stay all afternoon, carefully inspecting the books that were packed tightly together, spine to spine. He says, no longer. The driving force of all this is the acceleration of our culture, the old days of browsing, the old days of a person coming in for 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday and slowly meandering, making a small pile of books, being very selective, coming away with 6 or 7 gems they wanted are pretty much over. That picture haunts me. That image haunts me of spending 3 or 4 hours a day at the bookstore, carefully deciding what you wanted, and especially if you were somebody on a budget, if you were a student and you didn't have a whole lot of money to spend on books, and carefully picking the 6 or 7 gems that you wanted, and then walking out with them and contemplating the deliciousness of curling up with a really good book that you've been wanting to really hop into, tuck away with as you left. And I remember those days from going to the library. When I grew up on a farm in a land that time forgot, not so far from where Gerald Ford is now buried. And we were in a really small town. And one of the very few ways that were available to you, the library. I mean, you could go at the library and you could get lost. And it was a really nice dumping ground for my parents. They just, you know, they either dumped you at the movies or they dumped you at the library on the weekends. And in my case, I didn't have a problem with either one. And I could get lost in books, and I'd always come home with an armload. And sometimes I'd even meander outside the, you know, mutate outside the boundaries of the children's part of the library And check out adult books, which I didn't, were almost incomprehensible to me, but I loved reading. And then I go back and get a whole boatload the next time. So when I see the picture of somebody carefully culling the six or seven books, the treasures, the gems that you're going to take home after spending a few hours browsing in a bookstore, well, it does happen. I mean, we go to bookstores sometimes and poke around, but it isn't the same. It's really different now. And I wondered if you'd like to comment on it. And I also want to comment on the language, because Oxford editors, the dictionary, are putting all of us on notice that they're deputizing us to help with the dictionary. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you very much, Enid. We have some slow-moving traffic southbound 99, northbound 99, just north of 12th Avenue. We have a two-car crash there. Northbound 99 at Florin Road, the two-car crash is just off on the shoulder northbound Cap City Freeway at Fulton Avenue. Tonight looks 37, highs coming up 51. Some showers we might see on through tonight and through midnight. Tomorrow, though, I think we're going to see clear skies, still a little chilly. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, and I want to remind you that my shows are archived, I think, still, whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed some Enid Live that you are sorry that you missed, you can go there, whiterosesociety.org. We're talking about language, and before we get back to language and books and those cozy moments of being in an independent bookstore, which you can still do now, you can go to Corte Madera, or you can do it in San Francisco Book Passage, and there are a number of independent bookstores in the Bay Area. In Davis, there is, I think, an independent bookstore, but there are not too many of them around anymore. And I'm trying to think, is it Beer's Books or Bierman's Books? And I've been there, and that's a very nice bookstore, too, here in Sacramento. Maria Shriver kicked off her husband's two-day inaugural celebration today because she says he wishes he could be. He's in Los Angeles because of his broken leg, and I'm going to be covering that tomorrow. And John Elliott of Air America Radio is going to be doing his show live from our studios tomorrow, and you'll meet him toward the end of my show tomorrow, so you can, we'll both meet him about the same time. Maria was saying, and her mother was there as well, so there was, there's Arnold, that strong guy sending in women to do his man's work. So he had his two sons and his mother-in-law, Eunice Shriver, representing him and his wife, Maria. So she kicked off her husband's two-day inaugural celebration at the one public event. He's still in Los Angeles. He wishes he could be here because this was really the way he was hoping to start his second term, celebrating the green dream. There may be a metaphor in this. He had planned to attend the event, but he canceled the appearance after his doctor advised him to stay off his broken leg. It was the only public event of his two-day inauguration. When asked by a reporter, when Maria Shriver was asked how Arnold was doing, she said he's doing better, but she declined to take more questions. Oh, I bet it's not really a very perky situation. Those of you, anybody who's broken a femur, we'd love to hear from you on this. Or anybody who's an orthopod, or anybody who's, operated, or a medical provider, medical personnel or something, let us know what this is like. I hope you all of you, say a prayer for his recovery, Maria Shriver told the crowd. I hope if you go skiing, you don't break your femur, because it isn't pleasant. Doctors use screws and cables to connect broken fragments of his right thigh bone during the 30-minute operation. Ooh, this is not so fun, is it? The governor, she said, would attend Friday's inaugural events. I hope he attends his swearing in. Otherwise, I won't be able to gauge the orangeness of his makeup and hair. Yes, he was supposed to be there at 11 o'clock. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi is supposed to show up somewhere along the line, too. And, of course, the Black Tie Gala is at the convention center. it'll be a wheezing performance from Paul Anka, Donna Summers, Jose Feliciano, people who haven't had a hit in 35. I know, I'm so snarky. I'm so bad. Shriver was also standing for her husband this evening at a private reception for top donors. Corporations and many of the governor's longtime political backers have given at least $1.3 million to help pay for the two-day affair. The most important thing is that he'll be here for the next 4 years, she said. So I wonder what Phil Angelides is thinking. It's like, what if this guy co-opted me in every single way? I was for insuring the uninsured children of California. How come I didn't get elected? I didn't go stupidly skiing and running into myself and breaking my femur. How come I'm not the governor? Well, Phil, you have a right to ask these questions. I want to know why you aren't the governor, too. In fact, I was talking to some political friends in Colorado today saying you should have been the governor. So you had my vote, but not enough of everybody else's. All right, we're talking about language. We're talking about books. We're talking about libraries, which I love our libraries. But Oxford editors, according to the august Oxford English Dictionary, otherwise known as the OED, it's going bananas to find out when the term going bananas was first used. They think that the term going bananas was simply not used before 1968, and nobody went bonkers before 1957, and no one went to the loo before 1940. The publishers of this 600,000-word reference book, billed as the definitive record of the English language, are willing to be proved wrong. So they're asking all of us, they're deputizing us, that if we know and can demonstrate, whether with clips, print articles or something, that that there was usage of these phrases and a number of others before the years that OED editors are able already to document, they want to hear from us. Now, here's what's so wonderful. This is why England, well, there will always be an England. The publisher of the Oxford English Dictionary is Oxford University Press. They're teaming up with a BBC TV program. I'm going to ask you, if a program like this could do well in this country, the program is called Balderdash and Piffle. Balderdash and Piffle, P-I-F, as in Frank, F-L-E, Balderdash and Piffle. It is a BBC television lexicology program. In other words, it concentrates on the language and on words. And what they do on that program, apparently, is they run down the origins of such acutely British expressions as Wally, which means a fool, Wazzock, W-A-Z-Z-O-C-K, which means an idiot, Whoopsie, which is another term for poop. As far as the dictionaries... You made a whoopsie. The president has made a lot of whoopsies, and we are floating in it from this administration. As far as the dictionary's 400-plus researchers have been able to make out, crazy people became daft as a brush in 1945 and, quote, one sandwich short of a picnic in 1993. Before 1976, marital aids were known by less genteel names, and I can't probably share them with you on the air. But sexually adventurous behavior became kinky in 1959. Some terms are too X-rated. But the Oxford editors are just as interested in X-rated terms as they are in terms like identity theft, spiv, S-P-I-V, a sharply dressed hustler, mucky pup, a messy child, and prat, P-R-A-T, a fool or jerk, as in pratfall. Words do have a real fascination. You know, I think, was it Joan Didion? Somebody said words, you know, they're not interchangeable. Cut them and they bleed. So, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The departure of the independent bookstore, more and more are going. Even one serving Princeton University, you'd think that that one would survive. Apparently, it's not going to. It's going to be sold. The idea of spending hours in a bookstore tidily deciding on which gems you're going to buy because you don't have a lot of money to spend or because books are now quite expensive, hardbacks anyway. You could do that in England more. The stalls there. You could go to places in New York if you're on the Lower East Side, the Strand Bookstore, and get books there. And they have a jumble of every kind of book in the world. Practically, I mean, they really have a big, extensive. But it's or Powell's in Portland, that mix used books and new books, and you can get lost in there if you love books. But fewer and fewer people are reading them. I don't know if fewer and fewer people love them. Maybe, probably so. And I know I buy them. I don't always have the time to read them. And a lot of my friends who used to be great readers, they don't have the time to read them either. So we're reading the book reviews and we're reading the synopses and. And if you're doing Enid Live, you're dealing with many, many authors and so on. So you can't read every single word of every single thing that you want to read. And you're reading, as I am, 6 or 10 newspapers a day. So it cuts into the time that, for me, it's a great luxury to read fiction. So here we are. The Oxford editors are deputizing us to help in figuring out the language and its origin. Some new recent additions to the dictionary, to the OED. Talibanization, La Nina, webcast, inline skating, bake sale, pork belly futures, pom-pom, and porta potty. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head are in there. Pond scum is in there. Power alone and with about 70 different variations, such as power shopping, power walking, power breakfast, power lunch, power shower, and power nap. And two more... two recent additions to the OED. Are you ready for this? Poopy and booger. Yes, two of our favorite words. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. Well, there's a lot of poopy and boogers in this administration coming out. So finally, they found a home in the Oxford English Dictionary. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Sounds like my ex-boyfriend. It's very sad.
Sounds like a law firm. Poopy and boogers.
At your service. Eastbound 50 just west of northbound Watt Avenue. We have a two-car crash. We also have northbound 99 just north of 12th Avenue and northbound 99 of Florin Road. Northbound Cap City Freeway, Fulton Avenue, we have a two-car crash as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Have you heard about the...
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. It's the internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that some
Someday, a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Thursday edition, pre-inaugural edition of Enid Live, I am yours for about 15 minutes more, 14 minutes more. So everything that we have to wrap up, we wrap up before Governor Schwarzenegger gets inaugurated again. If he doesn't collide with his crutches, well, we hope he's feeling better. I mean, it can't be wonderful, and it's, you know, I'm teasing. Today has been a festive day. Nancy Pelosi, there's been a lot of ceremonial everything going on this week between the Gerald Ford funeral, the Nancy Pelosi swearing in the Democrats, you know, coming to power finally in an official way. A lot of it, a little bit off the, all the cable coverage, all the coverage about, that takes our mind off of what the administration is up to, because as soon as, the whole idea there is misdirection. But as I shared with you in this CBS poll that is just out, what we are interested in as a country is the war in Iraq. 45% of us. What do you want the new Congress to concentrate on is the question asked. The war in Iraq, 45%. Everything else is way low. Economy, jobs, 7%. Healthcare, 7%. Immigration, 6%. I say that because USA Today is reporting in its front pages that the first act for the Democrats is an ethics cleanup. I think they think that ethics was part of why they got swept into office. But I don't think it was so substantial a part of why they were swept into office. Democrats take control of the House today for the first time in a dozen years. Because here's the story. The lobbyists are already trying to figure out ways around any kinds of ethics reforms that take place. And I don't have a lot of confidence that the Democrats are going to keep... I hope that I'm not right about that. And I hope that the Democrats keep their noses appreciably cleaner than the Republicans have. And so what they want to do is they want the first act for Democrats is going to be an ethics cleanup. But I think the elephant in the room is Iraq. And what I am astonished by is that it has been reported that Dickey never watched the videotape. He's never seen the Saddam execution. He hasn't, apparently, at least that's what was earlier reported, that he has seen none of the Saddam execution. The New York Times is, there have been a couple of kids who did copycat hangings, executions, because they watched the Saddam execution. Now, one of them is a 15-year-old girl from eastern India, and the other is a 10-year-old boy who died by hanging himself from a bunk bed. He was apparently mimicking the execution of Saddam Hussein. Now, number one, I know it's probably really hard to do this, but shouldn't you as a parent be controlling what your kid is watching on television? It's probably all over the place. I know it was all over the cable channels, but there had to be some warning. And I suppose if you are a parent, the more you try to keep your kids from watching the execution, the more the forbidden fruit beckoned them. But if you are a parent, and did you put the curbs on letting your kids watch this execution? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, because one of the unintended consequences is that kids are mimicking without, at a 10-year-old, I mean, without realizing it, one would think, what the implications are. So here in Houston, police and family members said that a 10-year-old boy who died by hanging himself from a bunk bed was apparently mimicking the execution he witnessed of Saddam Hussein. He was found dead in his bedroom. It appears, said the police, that it was accidental. Our gut reaction is that he was experimenting, an autopsy of the fifth grader's body was pending. A clinical psychology in California said that children of that age mimic risky behaviors they see on TV, such as wrestling or extreme sports, without realizing the dangers. He said the TV appeared to be the stimulant in this child's case. So it certainly hasn't had that effect on the administration, however. Well, they're hanging themselves, but in a different way, I guess. The administration refuses, continues to refuse to condemn the taunts to Saddam as he was exiting this veil of tears. The Bush administration sent conflicting signals about the taunting and baiting that accompanied Saddam Hussein's execution, with the White House continuing to decline to join the criticism of the procedure, and the State Department and the U.S. military raising questions about it. The president is focused on the new way forward in Iraq, so these issues are best addressed out of Iraq, out of Baghdad, said a deputy White House press secretary. So it's like, you know, the president is thinking about something else. He's moved on. Too bad. He's not thinking about it. We don't have any comment. The U.S. could have handled Saddam Hussein's execution differently, a U.S. military spokesman said, after a cell phone video of the hanging sparked outrage and protests among Iraqi Sunnis. And the New York Times has this to say. They say that for the Bush administration, which insists it went to war in Iraq to implant democracy and justice, these globally viewed images were a shaming embarrassment. Unfortunately, all Americans will be blamed, while the Iraqi people are now likely to suffer still more. The ugly death of Saddam Hussein is today's op-ed piece in the lead op-ed piece in the New York Times. And, you know, you have to think about it. Going out the way he did, he almost becomes a figure of sympathy. He's being executed. They want him to, didn't they want him to put a hood over his head? I forget now. And he rebuffs that. His executioners have hoods over their heads. And then they taunt him on the way out. I mean, he's already being executed. I mean, how bad is that? It only makes him not, you know, one of you said that the Middle East likes its martyrs. Well, he becomes even more than a martyr. He becomes a figure of sympathy in what is really a botch. And this was a horrible botch. Saddam Hussein deserves no one's pity, writes the New York Times. But as anyone who has seen the graphic cell phone video of his hanging can testify, his execution bore little resemblance to dispassionate, state-administered justice. The condemned dictator appeared to have been delivered from the U.S. military custody into the hands of a Shiite lynch mob. So the whole thing is just horrible. And this is, I think, emblematic of what happens when this administration tries to do anything. It screws it up. It's incompetent. It can't get anything right. And now, because it's done everything wrong, they want to be like the CEO of the Sacramento Bee. The revenues are down. The circulation's down. They sold the Minneapolis Star Tribune at a fire sale prices to get some sort of a credit. And he gets a bonus. He's going to get a bonus. He's got a seven-figure salary. He's probably going to get a seven-figure bonus. I want to sign up. I want to sign up for that job where I can do the world's worst talk show. I want to sign up for the job where I can do a terrible talk show filled with lies, boredom, and all of that, and get a 10-figure salary. Where can we sign up for that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some slow traffic, I think, on the way to, looks like Galt, Stockton, Elk Grove right there. 2 and 3 car crashes along the way, nice and slow. Northbound Cap City Freeway at Fulton Avenue, westbound 50 at Jefferson Boulevard, and eastbound 50 just west of northbound Watt Avenue, all crashes and slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Safeway has over...
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and South. Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Loving Enid is wrong. We don't want to be right. AM 1320.